Hit it.
Welcome, friends and family. Welcome, brothers and sisters. I just want to say happy Shabbat and thank you for coming. Today's date is October 15th, 2011. I'm your host, Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus, and today is the Hebrew Council meeting number 7. Okay, I just want to once again, welcome everybody for coming. And before we begin, I am going to open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Yahushua's precious name that you bless this meeting. I pray that in this coming together, Heavenly Father, that something is said that will help those brothers and sisters that are still lost. I pray that you use this message, Heavenly Father, and this opportunity for us to come together as a family, and for us to understand that there is one enemy, Heavenly Father, and that enemy has been hidden from us, and we are going to reveal him, O Father, so we can be the chosen people that you have made us to be, priests of the Most High, the ones that you made the covenant with, O Father. We pray that you help us fulfill what you have made us to do. Heavenly Father, thank you. I pray that you bind and bound any demonic forces that wish to hinder this broadcast. I pray this in the name of Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I'm going to open a couple of these people that are on the line. And if you would like to call to participate in this broadcast, the number is 347-826-9484. That's 347-826-9484. And this week's agenda is going to be questions concerning Rise of the Black Messiah, if there's any questions on that. We're also going to talk about Hebrew music, Dream of Hunet. And I think if those of you have listened to me, to my earlier broadcast, I actually said that this is one of the dreams of mine. The goal is to actually get Hebrews music, because that's what really reaches our people, is music, you know. And Sister Venus actually wrote an email to me earlier this week, and it reminded me. That's one thing I really wanted to talk about, and I want to emphasize that today. And hopefully Sister Venus calls up so we can speak about that. Also, we're going to have open discussions. For example, Herman Cain and the attack of Iran, etc. And then we'll close in scriptures and then have the closing prayer and a message to our Father, Ayah. Okay, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up a few phone lines and see who's online. Caller number 832-896. Who am I speaking to?
Shalom, it's Sister Deborah.
Oh, Sister Deborah. You know, I was thinking about you all this week.
Uh-oh.
How you doing, by the way?
Oh, I'm doing just great. I'm blessed.
Okay, Sister. Everything's fine with you? Because it was on my mind to call you, and I never got around to it, and I was hoping you would call in.
Yeah, I'm at work today, so I'm going to be real, real quiet. I'm already quiet, but.
Okay, Sister. Well, you know, I'm happy to hear your voice. And I'm going to try to call you later on this week, okay, Sister?
All right.
Okay, but welcome. Caller 419241.
Shabbat Shalom. How's everyone doing?
Hey, Sister Georgia, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Got the grandbaby and everything. He's going with the other grandmother, trying to get him all set so I can listen to this show and be able to, you know, add to if I can.
Okay, you're welcome, Sister. You're welcome. Okay, we have caller 248-798. Would you like to speak, or are you just listening?
Oh, I'm just
listening. Okay, Sister. Caller 856. Oops, sorry about that. Caller 856-676.
Hey,
like
Shalom, Brother Dave. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going Fortune. Good. Hey, all Fortune, right, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. I'm finally up and running again.
Oh, man, your computer was acting crazy the other day.
Yeah, I know, man.
Did you figure out what the problem was?
No, well, actually, I think I just need to get another one. I think that it's a little bit outdated, so I have to just upgrade.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome, brother. Okay, let me see. Caller 214-431.
Hey, Shalom, brother. Brother Drew X. Just listening in.
Okay, my brother. Welcome.
All right.
Caller 323-528.
It's Sister Leah. Hi.
Hey, Sister Leah. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. So good to be here today.
Yes, yeah, good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to hear you, too.
Thank you, Sister. Caller 870-588.
Shalom, it's Sister Jeanette. Just wanted to let you know I'm here.
Oh, okay, Jeanette. Thank you for calling in. Later on, after when we get towards the open discussion around that area, then I would like you to speak. Is that okay?
I'll try.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody. While the chat room is being filled up and the callers call in, that if more callers call in or not, you know, like we have the offline Hebrew Council meetings. I hope that people feel free to speak, but you know, there's certain things that that we can say, but we use wisdom to not say, just because they're a little bit too controversial for the public. Okay. So those things we have to use discernment on. But other than that, you know, let's just open it up to the world and let them know what the Hebrew Council meeting is about. And we can come together as a family and we can discuss things and still remain a family. And one thing that I really love about this WHO network is that not all of us actually agree. Okay. We all have different opinions and views because we're all growing and nobody knows everything, but we're all at least trying to learn and we all respect each other and try to come together so we can find the truth, you know? So with that, I just want to say, you know, I'm proud to have people like you around and that I can actually call up and talk to from time to time. So welcome. And now, what I wanted to begin with is questions concerning the rise of the Black Messiah. One thing, Sister Venus, if you can call in, that'll be nice. I want to talk to you about the Hebrew music. That's if you want to. Let me see my chat. I can't actually see the chat. I got to move my chat up. Okay, so. First of all, can everybody hear me out there? Is it running, coming in pretty clear?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. All right, well, that's good, because I want to make sure that I'm online and everything else, because y'all know how to be doing this sometimes.
Yeah.
But does anybody have any questions about the latest broadcast? Or do you have any opinions on it? Did you think it was okay, or do you think any questions?
Well, I just had a comment.
Okay.
I liked the way that you had set up the pretext that it was, you know, all of us who are not afraid to proclaim the truth. That's the rise of the Black Messiah. I really think that it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know, that we, each of us have our own particular job to do. And in doing each of those tasks, we're not only, you know, showing who we are as the seed of Jacob, but we're also actually living and being part of the prophecy that's coming to pass.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was really nice. I actually included some of it in this next blog that I'm writing and made a link back to that show so other people could hear it.
Wow.
So I think it's great.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Leah. That means a lot. That really means a lot. Because the thing is that what I'm trying to do with this broadcast, it has three parts to it, and
okay.
the next part is going to be a lot more intense than this one was, because I'm trying to lay a foundation. You know, this is Rise of the Black Messiah, Know Your Enemy, okay? And what I want people to realize is that we are actually in a war, okay?
Yes.
We are in a war, but we don't really know that we're in a war. And the war has been waged on us over 400 years ago. It's been waged on us ever since that serpent seed had us in his crosshairs. And if you read the Testament, it says, you know, the Amalekites will be against the seed from generation to generation. That means that you have to look for that continued battle between these seeds. And if you read about the accounts within our recent history, I mean, we can't really read about what happened prior to the 14th century, right? But we know that a lot has happened. But we have an opportunity to look at a condensed, well-written, well-documented account that happened to the seed of Yaakov based on the information from the slave trade. And the excellent books that have the secret relationships between blacks and Jews, volume 1 and 2, they really lay it out. But that's not the only books that laid it out. What people have to understand is that the secret relationships between blacks and Jews is a reference book.
Right.
Okay? It's all just, all it does is sells you something, and then it says, here's the reference. Here's the reference. If you get the part 2 book, you read it, it's so thick because it's basically half of the book is showing you the references. And that's volumes and volumes of books that you can read that can actually document the hell that the Hebrews went to. Okay? So what I'm trying to do is, if people can just understand that they are a target, and then the question comes up, why? Okay? Why are we a target? What is so special about us or not so special about us, right? And understand that genocide has been happening in South Africa as well. And not only South Africa, all over the African continent, okay? Is this merely because of economics, or is there another deep-rooted meaning behind this? Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Out the deep-rooted meaning.
Yeah, there's a deeper meaning behind this, you know. And if we don't know that deeper meaning, if we don't explore it, then we will continue to fall into the same traps as our ancestors did. Okay. And there's one thing that I want people to understand is that I always told you that with Louis Farrakhan, okay. I always had respect for Louis Farrakhan because of, you have to separate it from the spiritual, okay? And you have to go towards the black movement, all right? If we can call it a black movement, okay? The awakening of the black man. Now, nobody can deny that Farrakhan has did a great job of waking us up to who we are. And he did a great job and giving us the backbone to defend our right to be treated as human beings. Okay? Now, that's important. But we have to separate that from the spiritual, because on the spiritual, he's missing the mark. But now I say that with this in mind. Now, he missed the mark. What did you say?
Man, we'll get your stuff and go.
Oh. Now, he missed the mark. Wait, hold on. All right, anyway, now he missed the mark because, sorry y'all, I'm going to have to mute somebody out. Yeah, sorry about that. He missed the mark because what Farrakhan was doing was, he had his knowledge was based on what he knew, okay? And this is from Elijah Muhammad. And they're coming into an understanding at a time when no one would even consider the black people of America being Hebrews. So now we're all trying to find ourselves and our identity, knowing that this person is the enemy. So the best they can come up with is the Nation of Islam. All right. And it served its purpose. Right. But now we're coming at a time in the early 21st century, where we are starting to become awakened to who we are. I mean, where the truth is coming out. And why is it coming out now? Because of the internet. They can no longer hold back the information that is available to us. We can put things together faster than we could before. See, the book, The Secret Relationships Between Blacks and Jews, they have to use reference books. Now, first of all, I have to know about the book to be able to read it, okay? And before that, I'd have to even be able to even read. We were not allowed to read for hundreds of years, okay? And then when they write, you have to be able to comprehend it to a level where you can actually decipher it and be like, oh, okay, I understand this. Now, that didn't happen until later, you know, until we start getting educated and stuff. I mean, y'all know the history. But the point I'm trying to make is that right now we are a different people than we were 50 years ago, 20 years ago, okay? We are different people than we were even 20 years ago because now we have the knowledge to understand and we have this information at our fingertips. So now we can cipher through this stuff and now we can say, wait a minute now. His name wasn't Jesus, it was Yahushua. There was no J. If there's no J, how were there Jews when there's no J? What were they, Jews? You know what I'm saying? But I'm serious, though. It's like, so now we have to start to think with common sense now, okay? And then we start to look into Aryan and his Ashkenazis, and we start putting this stuff together. And then we say, hold on now. And then we are able to see on the internet, because we're not going to – how many of us could actually afford a plane ticket to go to the museums or in Egypt and actually look at this? If there was a very small number of us, and we would come back – like here's the funny story. How about the Richard Pryor skit? The Richard Pryor skit where he went to Egypt and he was like, oh, Jack, I'm going to tell everybody about this. They were black. Remember? He was freaking out. And then they closed the tomb and locked him up and he died. But the point that I want to make with that is that, you know, there was a lot of us going over there discovering this, but it was such at a small number that not enough people would understand what was going on. And back then, we didn't have the internet. See, now we know about these Egyptologists and these brothers and stuff. I mean, it's like, whoa, all these coming, everything's coming at us, you know? So I almost lost my point. So anyway, the point I'm making is that we now have the opportunity to know. We can see the Hebrews on the walls. We can see the kinky head and curly afros. We can read Herodotus, and Herodotus tells the account on what they look like. Okay? There is no denying that the Hebrews were of color. There's no denying this now. Now is what do we do with it? Okay? Now we have to look through prophecy and see what it is that we're supposed to do and what happened to these people. And then when we reference Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus and damn near all the other books in the Bible, we start to see that there is a pattern here and a warning and an understanding and a people and a purpose. Okay? But one thing that we missed is that mortal enemy of the Sidi Yaakov. And that mortal enemy is the Amalekites. And he morphs himself into many different people. But the one thing that he always does is he sticks by us. He's right in front of our face all the time. He's so close to us that he became us, okay? And we don't even know it. You know what I'm saying? We need to know this enemy. And once we know this enemy, we can shake him off our back. Then we call on the Most High, Ayah, and let him deal with it. You know? I mean, it's an amazing thing. I know I'm rambling a little bit, though. But anybody have anything else? Anybody have any other questions concerning... I'm going to open some. I had to close some mics because there's some background noise, though. Anybody have any other comments on Rise of the Black Messiah?
I do.
Yes?
My comment is about things going on spiritually over us and around us, and the war that's going on is the knowledge that the fallen angels have slowly given, I guess, what they call their people or their seed, and by them giving them this seed, it helps fight the spiritual battle against God's people. But I just wanted to say that. Just some things that I'm reading right now, and where Satan's taken over people's oversoul, tries to take over their oversoul. But why I'm like you in the question of what's the, why is such a deep secret, and why is it only taught to a few, and why is it so important that humanity go that route with these fallen angels?
Well, I have one question for you, sister. Is this going to lead into the discussion that we're going to have later, or is this part of that discussion?
It's probably part of that discussion.
Okay, well, let's hold off on that.
Okay.
We'll hold off on that because that'll bring it to another direction, and we're going to go there. We're going to go there later, but for a short answer, what I believe is that we have to always go back to what Yahushua said. And no, it wasn't Yahushua. It was in Ephesians. It said we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and wickedness in high places. Now, we have to understand what those principalities are. And these principalities are these spiritual entities. Now, then when we discuss these spiritual entities, most people shut off. They're like, they don't want to hear about it, right? But
right.
It's almost like the same trick as the Amalekites did to us. They pretend that we were friends. They pretend that we were of the curse of Ham, and they became us, okay? Deceive the world into thinking that they are something that they're not, all right? Now, if these demonic beings can say, oh, that's just myth, it's just mythology, Darwinism is the thing that needs to be emphasized here. Man is ignorant by thinking there's such things as spiritual beings. Then what happens is we take our mind off of that aspect and we don't think of it at all as spiritual. And then these damn demons have free reign to do what they do. Now we have to think about this. If there's a such thing as a Masonic order and these Illuminati, everybody knows about the Illuminati now, because anybody that's in the rap music or Lady Gaga or any other of these entertainers are seeing all these like gangster demonic sides being thrown up at each other now. You know, and they're like thinking they're taking over, and now they're coming out and being more obvious about it, you know? So what we have to understand is that there is something there that they know, meaning the enemy, is using to give them more power, and they're becoming more bold about it, and they don't even care if you know. So what is that? What is that force, okay? And that force is the principalities. So, and that's something that we have to really know that it exists in order for us to really combat it, you know? So, but we're going to get more into that later. But I'm going to play something for y'all. And this is, I wanted to play this audio file during the time of the broadcast, but I didn't have enough time. And it's part of what happened in the Congo. And it's part of what happened in the Congo, and it talks about the museum in Belgium. And the reason why I'm playing this is because it was a process of dehumanization, and this is going to lead into my next broadcast. Hopefully I can do it next week, but I just want you to listen to this because this is going to set the tone to what I'm going to discuss next. Okay, and it's only it's like 3 minutes and 3 seconds. And it's called The Congo Genocide, and it talks about the museums. Okay, here it goes.
Huge building projects throughout Belgium were funded by Leopold's wealth to celebrate his reign. Leopold built himself a palace, now called the Museum of Central Africa, to display his spoils. For historian Bambi Kuipins, whose father is Congolese, the building embodies the myths created to justify Belgian rule in the Congo.
The central hall gives you the idea of what the museum is supposed to be about. You have the central dome through which the light falls on the heart of darkness underneath, you can say. Simultaneously, the dome also presents the sky, God, and then in the central hall, underneath that representation of Leopold II, are statues of Congolese. So what you really see were the hierarchical relationships that structured the relations between the colonized and the colonizers. As a human being, I'm obviously shocked by that, because it is very clear that Africans, the way that this museum was originally set up and the way that most of the exhibitions still work, are really dehumanized, because they were seen and represented as savages who really needed the help of outsiders, i.e. Europeans, to transform them into fully civilized human beings.
From the late 19th century onwards, human zoos exhibiting Africans in their primitive state became popular around Europe. One of the first was housed in the grounds of Leopold's museum.
The Africans were put on display so people could go and see them in very much the same way that they could look at, say, caged animals in a zoo. And their reactions were also very similar. There were notices saying that people were not allowed to throw peanuts at the Africans because that was what they did. This museum is also, in a very real sense, the only monument to Belgian colonial history left in this country. So if we dismantle the museum, there is a very great danger that we also eradicate the public memory of that colonial heritage. And once that happens, of course, one paves the way for all these people who say, well, it was not as bad as that, was it? And Leopold II really did do a great deal of good.
In 1908, the year before Leopold died, his crimes were made public and he was forced to hand control of the Congo over to the Belgian government. But the cruelty continued.
Okay, I'm back. Now, I just wanted to play that because I didn't get to play it last week. And what I wanted to say after that is I wanted to explain to people that in 1908, there was already a genocide going on. Okay? I mean, there's genocide going on for the past 300 years prior to that. But what this particular genocide was, when they killed over 10 million of the Congolese people, chopped off their arms, made them work to death, and this was basically just for rubber, okay? Because they had that rubber tree down there and all the other minerals, of course, but the rubber was, at that time, it was really profitable because they used it towards the war, World War One and World War Two, and I'm going to get into that next broadcast, which is very interesting. But we have to understand that the mention of a Holocaust did not come into being until the Jewish Holocaust in Nazi Germany. And then the term racism became on the lips of people. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if the Most High forced the acknowledgement of our suffering on the people that were pretending to be us? Just throwing that out there. And another thing to understand is that when we speak about the Holocaust that happened to us, we're not trying to get financial aid from it, okay? I don't want to die, okay? I'm not looking for a payout, all right? What I'm looking for is acknowledgement to who we are as a people. And why am I looking for the acknowledgement? Because it says that we will be signs and wonders. See, we're doing this for the glory of the Most High. Okay? We forgot who we were. They took away who we were. But yet, it is being restored to us by the miracles of the Most High. And a testament to that is Dawid Yaakov Maccabeus and all the other Hebrew brothers and sisters that are waking up to who we are. Now, when I go on Facebook, I go and I want to befriend the person. And then they say, oh, would you like to befriend this person also? And then I look and it's hundreds of people. And then as I'm like, man, I can't befriend all these people. This will take all day. And then as I'm scrolling down the list of these different Hebrew names, names keep just coming, rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And I cannot count all the people that are out there that are waking up to this truth. I don't think y'all understand. This is like an avalanche that's going on right now. This is the glory of the Most High. Now, once we become on one accord and we start speaking with one voice and truly understanding who we are, it's pretty much over with. It's over with for them. Now, the reason why they're not attacking us like I thought they would, I think it's because if they start to say anti-Semitism and start pointing the finger in our direction about anti-Semitism, then we just basically say, look, first of all, there's no such thing as a Semitic people. It's Shem. All
right? Yeah.
And then we basically just start, okay, well, let's compare history. Let's compare your history with our history. Now, let's get some of these pictures out. All right? Now, let's look at how your Zionist movement began. Let's compare that to, matter of fact, why don't you bring out the prophecies? Bring out the books and leave that Talmud alone, because that ain't got nothing to do with scriptures. Let's go to the real scriptures right now. Let's break this apart. Okay. Now, one thing that they can't do is they'll never go into the Christian doctrines, even though we have a lot of stuff that we need to look into that. They won't go into the Christian doctrines because they rejected Yahushua. So that's half of the knowledge that they don't have to really debate us if there was a debate. That, first of all, they lost on that front. Okay, because that edifies the old. And then when we go to the old, we just start bringing through scriptures and we start comparing the prophecies, and they just don't match up. And if they start to dig it up, then we basically say, okay, well, where's Amalekites at? All right. Okay. Where's this seed of enmity? And then they try to come up with the curse of Ham, and we just show them like how they fabricated that lie. I mean, they pretty much can't win. If they really wanted to take it to that level, they lost. Okay. But what is our job? Okay. Now, I don't want to be the only one yakking. Let me, I'm sorry, did I close everybody up? Okay, let me open some of these mics up. I thought it was all open. My apologies, y'all. I don't have a co-host tonight, so I'm kind of doing this by myself. Hello, everybody. I had to open up everybody's mic. Sorry about that. I thought everybody was open. Does anybody have any comments? Or did I mute everybody? Daggone it.
Well, I will add, Brother Dawi. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. I was muted and
okay.
Thought I was unmiking. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I will add, you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right. See, that's one of the reasons why I speak boldly, because I know I've had certain unlearned Hebrews who I call them lost Negroes. I've had certain of them, and a lot of the Gentiles attack me. But see, the thing is, you won't really find any of the Jewish people attacking you when they feel like, because of the information that's in Scripture does point to them, they feel like, oh, we're being attacked. But they will not come back on the show and call in with anything, for the fact that if they do, when you open up the Scriptures, all evidence of truth is right there, and they cannot back it up. So I don't worry about them. I really don't. I don't worry really about the lost Negroes or the Gentile population that attacks me, because let's take it to the book. Let's
yeah.
take it to the Scriptures. I just want to add that in.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And the thing that most people have to understand is that, look, we're not perfect. You know, we're going to get a lot of this wrong because, you know, a lot of this is self-taught. None of us went to seminary schools. Okay. Most of us are led by the Spirit of the Most High, which it's supposed to be. He said, I give you the Comforter. Okay. And the Comforter will guide you. And the Comforter is now guided us in the position where, look, they can't combat it, because you can't combat the truth. You know, you just can't do it. So many, what I'm saying is that we have to be patient with each other. You know, we really have to be patient with each other. And there's a lot of things, a lot of stuff that's out there that, you know, isn't right. But I'm not going to, like, disown the person just because of that, or try to blacklist them or not have anything to do with them. I still love these people. You know what I'm saying? Even Farrakhan, you know what I'm saying? Even though Farrakhan is like into the Scientology and stuff, he did a lot, and I'm hoping that he sees the light, you know what I'm saying? So we can be like, come on, brother, let's do this together. But can you imagine if we had somebody like Farrakhan speaking the truth? I mean, it'd be over with tomorrow.
I can understand how easy they get sucked into things like that.
Yeah, well, it happens, though. You know what I mean? Because, you know, like I said earlier, when we were finding out who we didn't really have much to offer us. We had the Nation of Islam. We had the Egyptology movement. We had the Moors movement going on there. And it was attractive because it gave us a sense of pride. We had Marcus Garvey coming up on in there. I mean, that was the beginning of us having a voice, you know? And there was no internet. We were still kind of groping in the dark, you know? Now we're actually starting to see some light now. And this is what's happening. So anyway, I wanted to speak on concerning the rise of the Black Messiah. If there's no other questions, I'm going to move on to the next topic. Does anybody have any other questions on that? Going once, going twice.
I don't have a question. I was going to make the same comment that Sister Georgia made. It would be, on both sides, a pretty phenomenal thing for anyone of them to try to even attempt to dispel all the truth that we're bringing about, because they know that they don't have a chance. Because the thing that they failed to do, actually, I don't even think I can say that, because the Most High already meant for the truth to come out. Because they failed already. They can't cover up anything else anymore, because the truth is already going to come out whether they like it or not. So there's nothing they could do to combat against us. And I thought about the same thing you did, brother. How come they're not attacking us, like, you know, all of a sudden the CIA at your door? Why are you over there, you know, talking this truth? Or, you know, well, how come they haven't been coming out in the wood, out of the woodwork to try to stop what's going on? But it's already because their destruction is set for them. There's nothing they can do about it. So,
well, I want to add something there now. See, here's the thing. Just as they've done throughout the scriptures, they technically are attacking us, but they're doing it in a way to where it doesn't point to them. If you know they controlled all the media, why are we getting cut off? Why are our shows falling way in back? Why is it that you can come on certain shows when we have them, and it shows we don't have a show? Why?
That's right.
Why? You know, they attack through the internet, because the internet right now is probably the hottest thing out there to get information. Well, our stuff is being pushed to the back or deleted, and then they go into the sources for research, and they are meddling with that information as well. So we are
getting
back.
Oh, that's true. That's true. You're right about that, sister.
Yeah. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
You're right. They were just talking about how they're trying to change around Wikipedia to fit their agenda and make it seem like, you know, the truth about the Jews, they're trying to make it as like a myth or something like that.
I don't know if somebody's talking and they don't know they're on.
Yeah, I'm trying to get rid of them. Well, keep talking.
Well, that's basically what I want to say. The tech is there, and I just do what we have to do, and that's speak the word, the truth of the word. And even the ones who do come attack to say that the Jewish people are Israel, they really can't even back up what they're even trying to claim. And it's just going to get to that point where a person has to come within themselves and say, hey, do I want truth, or do I want to just enjoy the lie I've been told? You know, I've heard people take scripture and pervert even scripture to fit the Jewish people. I've heard somebody say, well, you see, Revelations 2:9, you know, it talks about them being rich. But at point of time, thou art rich. They talk about the Holocaust, I know thy poverties and thy, you know, and then it says, but see, thou art rich. Oh, see, that's the Jews. I've seen them pervert scripture and not, they love the lie. And they said that's why that they have to uphold the Jewish people, because that's how they're getting their blessings. if you bless the Most High's children, you won't get blessed. You know, but they want what they are looking for is a physical blessing. That's not what the Most High is talking about. Those who get the blessing, get the truth of the word, they get saved. But it's not a richness that they're talking about, not a worldly riches. And that's what I've heard many of the Christian and, well, just basically the Christians speak that.
And you know something else, Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Is that I thought about something else deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when in 1865, when they signed the Emancipation Proclamation Act, right? They had another thing going on there where they didn't want to free us because it would be economic detrimental for the economy of the world if they did that, because free labor is free labor. When you got to pay for something, you know what I'm saying? It's just like now, like today, most of the labor has moved from the U.S. to China, and they work for like a dollar a day. You know, that's a form of slavery, but the economic machine never stopped rolling just because we were free. When we became free, we actually had to work for nothing through the Jim Crow laws, right? And then after that happened, they went into Africa, you know what I'm saying? And what did they do? The Graft for Africa, what did they do? They got more free labor. So they never stopped. They just keep doing it. Anyway, so what I mean, why is it deeper, is because during the Jim Crow laws, like, we have the Amalekite that pretended to be us and that has usurped us and got all this, you know, these are the chosen people type of respect through the Christians. But what does it say in scriptures? It says that they're actually working hand in hand. So what happened when they freed us? The Jim Crow laws came, and every one of these people were like treating us like dirt, hanging us and taking our goods, the riots. I mean, you just start reading about it. You read these books. It just tells you all of the crimes that were committed against us and continue to be committed against us. The eugenics. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So now if they find out that the people that they've done that to are actually the Hebrews, the real Hebrews, and the ones that they're kissing up to are actually the synagogue of Satan, how can they admit it to themselves,
right,
and continue to live?
Right.
They have to lie to themselves. They have to say no. Because they don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Do you want to be guilty of destroying the Most High's people?
Wow.
Well, you know what? I think that many of them do know, because when you get to the prophecies for the Hebrews, and it speaks of us being in jailhouses, okay, we know that that falls for one group of people on this earth. Now, if the Jewish people were the people, see, what I'm saying is they'll read this, or they even say that the Caucasians are Israel, spiritual Israel. But the whole point is they're not the ones that spit in those prophecies. So, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, people want to be lied to, because the truth is in the scriptures, and regardless if you bring this out, this is speaking about prophecy. It's telling you that what happened in 1948 does not align with scripture. Matter of fact, if we're still waiting on Yahushua, we know that he hasn't come to gather us yet. So they, you know, it's just so many lies that people want to receive. They like the lies that they've received. And we just got to get to the point where, and I'm speaking to, I guess, people who have not accepted the truth, we got to get to the point where we really want to be with the Father and be saved and want to know the truth, regardless of if it's different from what you've been taught. Because at one point, even the ones who are coming out now proclaiming the truth, we were in that same messed up religion of lies that you were in. But it's just how much do you love the Father and how much do you want to know the truth? And until people face that and come to the acknowledgement that, yes, this prophecy speaks about one nation of people. You know, it's a true Hebrews that are scattered everywhere. It speaks of us. It doesn't speak of a spiritual Israel, nor does it speak of the serpents being the chosen people. It doesn't speak of that.
Yeah, and you know, when you mentioned that the true Hebrews everywhere. I'm going to read something to y'all. Let me see if I can find it. And remember that conflict that was going on in Rwanda? And they had the issue with the Hutu, was it the Hutu and the Tutsi, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was reading up on that because I was reading the book. It was called The Jewish Onslaught by Tony Martin, right? And he basically breaks down on how the Jews attacked him and how they were basically using the ADL and I can't even say it, the ADL and the Hillel group and all this stuff to attack him. And then I'm sitting here wondering, like, you know, why they doing this so forcefully. And they tried like hell to keep this book out of the schools. And you have to understand, if they are trying so hard for us not to read something, you better read it. You better read it. And within that book, you find all kind of different information. And I'm going to read something to you. But first, before I do, I see somebody has a hand up. 973-444, do you have a question?
Yes, and I'm hoping I'm not digressing. I'm listening to learn, but when I came on, the sister was speaking about a spiritual reward instead of a material reward. I think that's what she said. And I know that in the Jewish Talmud, I believe, the language is taught to the Jews to establish two things, get land and money. Now, isn't there supposed to be a balance there? If she was just saying that we're looking just for a spiritual reward, shouldn't there be a balance there? And also, as people of, I guess, African-American, Negro, Black descent off the slave ships for many years, even up until the day, we said, just give us Jesus. You can have everything else. So is there a balance there that we should have money and land also, not just look for a spiritual reward?
Brother, of course we should have that, right? But the question is, who is there to give it to us? We damn sure ain't gonna take it. We ain't got no strength to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
those
we have
things
to...
in the future. When I made the comment, I'm talking about when you read that. Many of the people who are in Christianity will say, you see, because they are rich. Well, they're misunderstanding what the scriptures is talking about. Scripture says we're rich because eventually we get all of this. But right now we ain't got it. But they take it and they say, see, they're rich. They went through hardship, but they're rich. And they pervert the scriptures. And, yes, we will get it all. That's written. But right now, and there's nothing wrong if you have a little bit of something now, but the way they pervert it and they twist it to make the people who are out there in Israel right now, the people, or they make the people who have money in Christianity, see, you blessed because you supported the Jews, so you blessed too. And I've heard both of those lies. That's what I was speaking of.
But Sister Georgia, let me have one more comment. Hey, brother, do you want to respond to that first before I start talking?
No, I appreciate it. Like I said, when I came in, I caught the probably end part of what she was saying. I'm just on here to listen and learn, and I just wanted to get that correction.
Okay, what's your name, brother?
My name is Rasul.
Rasul?
Yes.
Yeah, welcome, my brother. Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, now I want to make a comment because I want people to understand, and I know a lot of us do. But I want to make sure that we understand what we're up against, okay? Now, when we came out of slavery, okay, here's we have to put this in perspective. For over 300 years prior to us being released from slavery, right, we built everything, okay? Now, we were the main force behind building the roads, the bridges, the buildings. You know, we built the White House. Now, a lot of white people say, no, we built that too. Now, here's how I have to ask them. Would you take free labor or labor that you got to pay for. Of course, they're going to take the free labor. Okay? Now, as we're building the infrastructure of the United States of America, we are learning how to build this infrastructure of the United States of America. We're becoming carpenters, masons. You know what I'm saying? We're becoming architecture. We know how to turn solder metal and, I don't even know all this stuff now. But we had the trade to build because we had to do it. We were the apprentice. We knew everything for hundreds of years. Okay, now, I say this because of this. When they freed us from slavery, all of their labor force was now free to do for itself. Okay? Now, here's an example. Booker T. Washington. They sent Booker T. Washington to build a university. They didn't give him no money. They didn't give him no labor force. They didn't give him no architects or plans. They just gave him a handful of Negroes, ex-slaves. And they built the most magnificent buildings you ever seen in your life because they had that inheritance in them to build. When they looked and they saw what Booker T. Washington built, they were like, my goodness, look at this. If we let these people loose, they are going to become a mighty, mighty people. Okay? They had to make sure that we didn't get it. They had to. They wanted to make sure that they kept that free labor and the information and the knowledge that we had to work for them, not for our interest. Now, I say that because when we talk about the finances, right? The Jew gets his finances off of the sweat that he is gaining from other people. Like the dollar, the person who works for a dollar an hour here, or the person who works for free over there. But when we make money, we earn it through our skill and knowledge. Basketball players, musicians. I mean, we invented daggone cell phone. How many of the inventions that they took from us? You know? I mean, we understand that we have a very special gift of economy if they just leave us alone. We'd be extremely powerful people, okay? So the Most High has blessed us with that ability. He has blessed us with that ability. But the problem is we are being usurped by this hidden force that does not want us to rise and utilize that ability to help ourselves. Now, as an example, Wall Street 1921, Black Wall Street, there was over 10,000 people in this city. It was like the most robust city in Oklahoma. It was Tulsa, Oklahoma. What happened? They got jealous. They went in there, tore everything up. But that's only one of thousands of riots that they did because they saw us being prosperous. Because what do we do with Jim Crow? We used it for ourselves. And we said, okay, we'll trade within ourselves. And we started to rise up. Okay? So we did have the ability and the economy, and we were blessed, but yet we have this serpent that never wanted us to be blessed. Now, here's a situation. How do we get this serpent off our back? Well, we got to know who we are. We got to call in the name of Ayah. We have to do that. But that's all part of the plan.
Brother Dwight, I can see now after what you just said that a lot of these mystery studies that I'm claiming, well, I'm claiming to be from the fallen angels, but there's parts of this that's taken from the Bible, and this shows, I'm sure there's a lot in here that they stole from you to keep you from, they've turned it around for them, from progressing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like,
I think that's what he's been trying to show me. Because you take this knowledge and you replace Yahushua with this white Jesus Christ in here, and I see that now. I see that now. Anyway, we'll talk about it later.
Okay, yeah, and one thing, like, okay, let's hit on the white Jesus, right? Let's think about that now. Now, why would they need to use a white Jesus? Well, it's quite simple. You know, the Jews don't believe in Yahushua, but did they have anything anything to do with turning Yahushua from black to white? Well, would it be to their best interest to turn Yahushua from black to white? Of course. And why is that? Because if they're going around worshiping Yahushua in his original self, his original ethnicity, which is, of course, a man of color, then they would say, well, isn't Yahushua a Jew that you claim to be? Then how did he become... Yeah, exactly. He looks like he's black and you're not. So what actually happened here? Then they have to explain that. Okay? But the thing about it is, how did they turn him a different color? Because they are actually...
They stole his identity. They stole his ID.
Yeah, but they did it because they are still involved within the Catholic system as well, and the Protestant system. And that's what people have to realize. The Jew has Judaism, yes, but he also has the influence in Catholicism and Protestant movement, whatever it's called, religion.
And vice versa.
What did you say?
I said, and vice versa.
Yeah. You know, but we have to be aware of this in order to understand how this game is being played. You know? Hey, y'all, come on. The lie deceived the whole world. If the lie is going to deceive the whole world, it got to be one hell of a lie.
And it is one hell of a lie.
Exactly. And you got to dig it. Dig it.
You know, can I ask a question, brother?
Yeah.
That's something that when I was still in Christianity, I was confused by the fact that Christianity thought so highly of Jewish people, and they don't even believe in Messiah at all, and they put them up on this pedestal that they're these great people who are from the Bible, but they could care less about it.
No.
It always confused me, because how is it that you're paying homage to a group of people who don't even practice what's said in the Father's Word, and they don't even believe in His Son?
And I think that's the truth that y'all bringing forth that needs to be brought forth, that people just don't, they follow this false Israel, not realizing, no, well, people think about it. They don't even believe in Jesus. I don't think the people think about it. They just go with the flow on following those people.
Yeah, they don't even question anything. They just float along every day without even stopping to look at the obvious.
And I want to say something about that. You know, I'll be honest with you. Last year, I think I played a recording where Gathering of Christ went out there and they had a debate with the a rabbi from Israel, okay? And I thought that... I really didn't know this. I was really stupid, but I thought that it was the first time it was announced or people could have proved that they don't even believe in Yahushua. But then I start searching on the internet, and I mean, I could find videos way back when. I'm like, well, I guess I was the only one who didn't know this, but it was already known that these people fit so many things that according to the word says that the synagogue of Satan, including like the New Testament says, you have to believe upon Yahushua, and they don't.
Well,
and I found that I almost got knocked off, you know, just knocked onto the floor. I'm like, oh, wow. You mean, oh, wow, okay.
So years
what has happened is them becoming the group falling off, becoming the Messianic Jews, that all of a sudden they're worshiping Jesus Christ, and they're bringing in these Christians into the Jewish traditions with Jesus Christ also. They're combining
right.
And this is what's been going on the past 20 years. And that's
right.
Just built up and built up and built up. And that has gained them more notoriety, however you say it, through the public. That's what they're looking at now. They're not looking at these Orthodox Jews over here that don't believe in Jesus. They're looking at 99% of the population's looking at the Messianic ones that, oh, you know, they're combining. Because I've got six ex-Christian friends that actually used to study the Bible with that have turned completely into that. That they do the dances with them. They go to that type of church. They live in a different state than I do. But I actually, right now, I just broke ties with all six of them, and I'm just praying about it. I don't even talk to them because they're that brainwashed with that because it's got Jesus Christ in it.
It's very strange. It's, no matter if they're Messianic or not, either way, they still have a Talmud and the things that have nothing to do with the Father, the Most High, at their core. And the world is still looking at them like they're the people. And no one questions. They don't question them.
I think this group keeps the Talmud, the, whatever that is, that book, I guess they keep it in the background. They don't bring it into their services, I don't think. I think they just bring in the holidays and the celebrations and go by and try to do the bit by Bible by Jesus Christ. They say that they follow Jesus. It's a cover up. It's another whitewashed cover up to draw people in. Exactly what it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Their Jewish customs are not biblical. They're a way of something that it's man-made. It's something that they created.
I was going to ask y'all about that.
You know, rule of thumb? Wait, one second, sister. What rule of thumb is if you see the star of Moloch, then that should be like, you know, a big red flag right there, because that should tell you. I mean, if they don't know about the star of Moloch just reading scriptures, then they pretty much are lost anyway.
I can't stand that star when I see it on people's
it's so evil. It's so evil.
Yes.
But a lot of them don't know, though. A lot of us out of ignorance. Caller 954-817, do you have a question?
Hi, Shabbat Shalom. This is Sister Venus.
Oh, Sister Venus. Yeah. I got to you're going to lead us into the next topic, but we'll talk about that. It's going to be something a little bit lighter.
Okay.
Kind of light. Lighten it up a little bit. Okay. Just hold on line. Welcome, sister. But actually, Sister Leah.
Yes.
Your question was, why do they follow them? Okay. And I was trying to keep that in my mind so I don't forget. Now, one thing popped in my mind, and a lot of us hit on it already, and that's mind control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I remember before I came to Sweden, I was involved in a network marketing a group. It was called ACN, and you would give like free phone line. If it was like you would earn equity if someone would sign up for a phone service, then you would get equity. And I was like, wow, this is cool. I can actually get a little bit of money from a phone line, and all I had to do is just sign up my friends and stuff. Yeah, I don't know how many people actually fell for that network marketing scheme, but anyway. I admit it, I fell for it, I was foolish, but I thought I was going to, like, help out my friends and family, and this is wonderful. So they had me go into these, there's a point in this about mind control. They had me go into these meetings, and I would be going to L.A., I had to go to Detroit, I'm flying around and cheering stuff, and yelling, going, yeah, you know what I'm saying? They even had me go upstage when I earned my my 3-month, I had, like, this little a reward, and I was up there saying a speech in front of thousands of people talking about, I'm so happy that I done did this, you know, and and I was just looking back on that, and I said to myself, damn, was I that stupid, you know? And then I started reading about mind control, neuro-linguistic programming, and I started to see how they had this pattern set up. They had the way that the speakers were set up and how the stage was set up and how people were talking to you. And they had like different keywords, and they had like these different speakers that came in that were like motivational speakers. And they told you these different books to read and stuff. So they actually had a perfected system on mind controlling the masses in order to sell this damn phone service. But it's a cookie cutter method that's used with network marketing. Okay. Now, I'm not dogging out all network marketing because some of it is good, but you got to come in early to get, you know, miss that pyramid thing. But It's not about network marketing. What this is about is mind control. Now, when we look at the churches and the preachers and the whole Christianity thing, you see, it's a still a form of mind control. But there's something that we have to understand in this form of mind control, and that's triggers. A trigger is a thing that is said, and when that certain thing is said, you have an emotional attachment to that thing that's said. Okay? Here's an example. Recently, I was listening to some, I had like these old 70 music, right? It was like singer-songwriters of 1975, 76, or 78, 79, 76, 77. I'm listening to all of them, and I'm listening to the songs from like Fleetwood Mac and who else is there? Carly Simon and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not into that music now, but when I was younger, my mom would play it. So I'm listening to these songs from 75, and I was born in 71. But as I'm listening to this, I'm saying to myself, man, I remember this. And I was actually feeling the same emotions that I had when I heard the song back then. And all of these memories started to flood into me when I started hearing this music. Now, this is a great example of a trigger. When you're in these different churches and they talk about Jesus and they talk about Moses or whatever they talk about in this setting, as you're going to it for years from years from years from years, what they're actually doing is they're actually setting these different trigger points in your mind. Okay? So when a preacher says it in the future, you're going to have a reaction to that. And that reaction is a form of mind control. See, now, if we're questioning you, we say something like, you know, that name Jesus was changed into Yahushua. Now they're like, oh, you're attacking Jesus. And now they all of a sudden put on that defense. And that defense is what the mind control artist did to you during that time when you were up under that religion.
Right.
You understand? Religion means bondage. Break down that word religion. Break it down to its root. Religo. It means bondage. Okay? Now, if it's religion, it's bondage, no matter what religion it is. Now, how are they going to put you in bondage? Through your mind, through your spirit. Now, the mind and the spirit, okay, if the mind can influence the spirit, then what happens? It sets up a trigger. You know what I'm saying? So getting back to the question, why do they follow them? It's because they have been told that the Jew was the chosen. Jews are chosen. The Jews are chosen. The Jews are chosen. Right? And now they think that whatever the Jew does, he's going to come back to the Most High. Even though they reject him, they're still the chosen. He's going to come back. No matter how much information you give at them, one day it's just going to be a miracle. As soon as Yahushua cracks through the sky, they're going to be like, oh, that's who we are. And then everything's going to be fine. Right? Now, you did all this hell. You done killed all these people, done caused all this mess. But the moment Yahushua cracks through the sky, then they accept him. Now everything is fine. Does that make any sense?
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? All the crimes that you committed are going to be forgiven just because at the last moment you accepted that Yahushua was the Messiah?
Oh, that reminds me of something. They think that, you know, they get to live and have all these riches here on earth, and then when they die, they're going to have heaven again.
Yeah.
No, their heaven is now. All their riches and wealth and what they've usurped people out of, it's going on right now. And when they pass on, then they're going to get their judgment. They think that they're just going to be able to just be forgiven all of a sudden, have heaven twice. No.
This is
probably why they go after so much materialistic things and live like they do here on this earth, is because they know they're not going to have bull crap after this is over with.
They're not even going to exist.
Oh.
Oh, I have a caller. Caller 856-676. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Actually, what you just said about there was a question earlier about why aren't they attacking us. And what I was going to say is actually it touches on what you were just saying. First of all, they're never going to attack us, especially with facts, because we can always blow them out the water with facts. what they do is they use the divide and conquer method, and they depend on us still being separated. So when one of us step up and we say something like we are the Hebrews, they don't have to attack us because there's always going to be a person of color that they can just open the gates and they'll come out and attack us because of what they've been fed, you know, their entire life, what they're led to believe.
Yep.
So that's the reason why you'll never see that. You know, Ashkenaz actually stepping outside of his community in order to attack us on what we're saying. They'll rather just walk away and allow other people to do it for them.
Yeah, just like Gates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Henry Louis Gates, the Harvard mm-hmm. professor, you know?
Well, not even to push the conversation further, because I know you have a agenda that you're following right now, like how you're running the syllabus is how you're running the show. But the same exact thing with Herman Cain. You know what I mean? And the comments that he made. You're not rich, this and that. You know, and they expect, like I said, people whom are the same color as people that are being oppressed, they give those people an opportunity and all the spotlight and all the shine for them to come down so we can combat each other so they can carry out our agenda. The same exact thing with the Jews for Jesus. Alright, that's a release valve, because as people start reading, they start to learn, and they learn more and more, you know, about the synagogue of Satan. Now all of a sudden, the branch of Judaism that is supporting what you believe in, so now all of a sudden, people will say, oh, well, you know what, they're okay, they're getting it together, you know what I mean? And so I look at the whole Jews for Jesus as a ploy. Because I grew up around a lot of Jews also, you know. And their main thing is that if you believe in Jesus, you're no longer a Jew. You know what I mean? If you ask the average Ashkenaz out there that, you know, whether or not, you know, can you still accept Jesus and be a Jew, they'll tell you no. But the name of their movement is Jews for Jesus. But that counteracts everything. So that still shows you they're still a Jew. Right. They're still a Jew. They're pushing the Jesus agenda because they need that in order to bring out the sympathy for
stay
the
relevant.
Jew.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So that's the reason why, and hopefully everyone understands the reason why you never see the Ashkenaz running to the forefront to argue and fight with us. And they always try to act like they're our friends.
Yep.
Because if we finally unify, there's nothing that they can do.
Yeah.
So it all boils down to us having unification amongst each other, no matter what stage in life you are on a spiritual aspect. As long as they can keep the division going on, they'll always have somebody that's willing to destroy for them. So.
And Jamel, let me not let people just brush over what you said. You said that as long as we unify, and brothers and sisters, I have to tell y'all, it is vital that we at least come together on this issue in knowing who you are, okay? Understand who you are. Where you are right there, just take some time. Just take a day. Just take one day and just say, I'm just going to get into this word and just read it and see if I am of the Sidiaco or if the Sidi Yaakov was the people of color, and then look at the covenant and what that entails, all right, and then try to unite under that, and then everything else is going to take care of itself, because they don't want us to get together. That's the most feared thing that they ever want, is us to get together. Okay?
Yeah, you're right, bro. You're right. I know, and that's another thing, too. I'm not going to drag everything out, because I know I can be long-winded, but you know, same exact thing that's going on right now, all over the world right now, with the Occupy Wall Street type of thing. You know what I mean? Everyone's there, and, you know, they have a different idea of what it takes in order to get things right. And even though they may be standing side by side, like I said, the ideas may be, as far as to fix the problem, could be different. But now they're being shown on TV. Now you see them worldwide, nationwide, started out in New York, I mean, the whole goal of the thing right now is that we may not all have it together. We all may believe in something different. Some of us accept that we're Hebrews. Some of us may accept that we're Muslims. Some of us may accept that we're Christians. And some of us may not even have a faith or a religious background that we want to even hold on to. But what we have to do is start to come up with all the commonalities that we actually have. You know what I mean? And once we start that unification, once we start to be able to sit down at the table and not point fingers at each other, rather than looking at our own problems and figuring out how we can actually solve them together, that is the biggest step that I think that everyone has to start making. And I think that this Occupy Wall Street thing that's going on, we can all learn a big lesson from that.
Yeah. Yes, we can, brother. Mm-hmm. Now, before, is that it, Brother Jamel?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for that. Now, actually, I'm going to get into a lighter topic because that's some heavy stuff. And the next thing on the agenda is Hebrew music and Dream of Huonet. Now, I'm going to ask Sister Venus, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Now, I want to say this because I finally finished the whoanet.org website, all right? And you guys can go there and sign up. But if you want to get into the blogs and transcripts and download the transcripts, you can go in there and just, you know, you have to actually sign in to that to get that. And the reason why I have it that way is because I don't want the other people to go in there and get it without me knowing who's actually looking at it. Now, it's free. Now, and here's something funny. When I went to get my transcripts off of Blog Talk, they wanted to charge me $300 to $500 just to get my transcripts.
What?
Okay. So they're actually selling my transcripts for money, serious money. So I'm giving away for free. All right. Because what I do is, like I said, I write up my notes, I write the stuff, and I say it, and then you know, because I know that if they shut the broadcast off, I'll do it again, and I have to post it somewhere else. But the word is going to get out there. So anyway, you can sign up to come in. Now, not to get long winded on that. Now, what I'm saying is that the Hebrew, the Whoanet site is also going to be a place where there's going to be Hebrew music. Now, I want to bring people from all over to contribute to this music, and there's a lot of singers out there.
I'd love to hear more Hebrew music.
Oh, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it. And I have Sister Venus here, and she wrote me earlier, and I want her to explain a little bit her idea, and then maybe they might match with mine, and then we can, you know, make somewhat of a commitment to try to get this ball rolling. You hear what I'm saying, Sister Venus?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So what's your ideas?
Okay. Well, my idea was, I mean, I remember you discussed it a while ago, and it came to mind because on my YouTube channel, you know, once you're acknowledged that you're a Hebrew on YouTube, you get a lot of Hebrews come in, and you get a lot of Hebrew artists. Now, I opened that particular YouTube channel that I have. I started it earlier this year. And there's a guy on there, Amar the Nazarene, and he links up with other artists. And there was a song on there. I can't remember the name of it, but I thought it was so awesome. And I know me personally, before I actually came into Truth, I started already kind of throwing away CDs, you know.
Yeah.
I had a lot of reggae CDs and stuff, you know, because I, you know, I used to enjoy reggae music thoroughly and other music, and I was like, where can we get, you know, that set apart music, because it's out there but it's so scattered. And when I sent Brother Dawid the email earlier this week, it was because my desire became so great, because I hardly listen to music at all. And because I had, there's these artists, and they're different artists with different genres, my intention was to, first of all, create another YouTube channel just dedicated for not only just Hebrew music, but for Hebrews who write poetry and stuff, because I do write poetry as well.
Nice.
And also to kind of bring it all together so it was accessible. Now, as far as the music goes, like I said, Brother Dal, we mentioned it quite some time ago, which I think is an awesome idea. And what I intended to do, I hadn't started yet because I really wanted his input first. So I was going to go ahead and talk to some of the artists, you know, see if that's, you know, something they're interested in, which I do believe that they would be. And, you know, link them with Brother Dawid and get this thing started. Now, as far as how to go about it, I don't necessarily know how to go about that part of it. I'm sure that the Brother Dawid has a way he wants to set it up. But I was going to start getting in contact with these brothers and sisters, get them online, and then go from there. But I was going to start a YouTube channel just dedicated to Hebrew and Hebrew talent only.
Yes, yes. And you know something, sister? Are you done?
Yes.
Okay, because now my sister is a phenomenal singer, okay? And actually, before I moved to California, I had somewhat of a, you know, I thought I was going to be a singer. Because that's why I went to California to perform. And I did a couple tracks in the studio, and I would sing in, and I did a lot of songs. I still got songs that I wrote, and I went to California, and I was singing on stage and actually doing my thing out there. But I stopped doing it because I was thinking to myself, if I don't make it, what do I have? So I had to start concentrating on a career, or, you know, I don't want to be, like, left on the road. So I got into computer science, and I actually clicked with it. So then I just kind of let the music fall off, and I got into that. But it has always been, like, that desire. Now, I say that because I talk to my sister a lot, and she's an awesome singer. And she does, like, gospel and all this stuff. So I'm thinking, like, we need to have some Hebrew gospel, all right?
Yes.
And I said to myself, I have, like, these songs that I play. All right, Ariah and Hen, and these guys are blowing up, and I'm thinking, you know what I mean? I'm not blowing up, but you know what I'm saying? They're really singing this awesome music, and Georgia has stuff on her site. I don't even know who these brothers are, and they got stuff that is, like, awesome. And I'm like, who are these brothers, you know? So what we need to do is we need to have a centralized place that just deals with Hebrew music. And then what we can do is we can have links to all these brothers. And if they have, like, a site where you can download it and donate to them to support their music, we have thousands and thousands and thousands of us that I know that will give you something to help you with your music career, or if you just want to give it for free or whatever. We have poetry up there. We have sections for poetry. And now what this is going to do is this is going to help. This is going to have musicians network with each other. And when the musicians network with each other, they start to build a following, all right? Because you know what we do is we listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And once that following starts to build, there's going to be a song or two that's going to be extremely popular. It's going to be a hit. And then it's going to inspire other Hebrew brothers and sisters to get out there and do it. And this is really going to wake up our people. And not only that, it's going to bring them and draw them towards the message, you know? And then it's going to create an association. It's going to create, like, a really nice movement, you know? And anyway, that was one of my ideas, and I'm trying to... What do you think about this? Just, wait, I'm trying to get rid of some of this feedback. Does anybody have any comments on that?
Oh, Brother Dawid, also, I was thinking, even with the, that radio station, however that we were going to do this, even with the music, we can have, like, like you promote Hewanet, Biblical Hebrews, also, like, news that pertains to scripture, what's going on, because I know we really don't have that, and I know there I have linked up with a couple Hebrew brethren that are doing something, but then I'll go on that website and there's nothing playing at all. And I don't, you know, something centralized, would it really does pertain to us, but primarily the music, because like even for myself, because I used to write music in the past. I used to sing because when I was in the church system, I sang. And it almost feels like one of the missing elements, because I know that us Hebrews, you know, we naturally enjoy praising the Father and worshiping Him. We're very spiritual people. So, you know, once music comes into play, music has I know does have quite an effect on us. It affects everyone. I think that's why, even especially in the satanic system, music is such a powerful weapon.
Yep.
To control the masses, and that will, like you said, it will help wake people up. And then for people who don't know their Hebrew, and for those who are wanting to know the truth, even through the music, they listen to the lyrics. It makes you want to look up things, you know. When I mentioned reggae music earlier, before, there were little things that were in lyrics where I will go and be like, I didn't know this. Let me see about this. Let me find out what are they talking about. Where did they get this fact from, or why they're saying this? And because it's coming from our heart.
Yeah.
Most
yes.
definitely. It would touch the hearts of the people.
Yeah, you know, when I used to sing, one of the producers would tell me, he'd be like, Dave, you know, that's my name, I was Dawid, Dave, same thing. He would say, David, if you ain't feeling it, they ain't feeling it, right? Now, that's mm-hmm. that's simple, right? But it meant a lot, because I would go out there and just sing something, and to try to just get it out there, and I'm like, I wasn't really feeling it, but I was like, you know, I'm just going to try to just entertain. But he was like, you have to feel this, man. And I was like, yeah, you know what, he's right. If I ain't feeling it, how are they going to feel this, you know? And when you say that, when they're writing this stuff, and like we find out that who we are, and that passion starts to come through music, that's when the truth starts to speak right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth, because that's your soul speaking. That's what soul music is about. And that's what we're about. That's us. That's going to wake up a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree.
You know? A lot
and
of
it's
people.
Wholesome. You can let the kids listen to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But you know something, though? There's a guy by the name of Pastor Martin in Kenya, and he's finding out that he's Hebrew. And I got connected with him from Sister Elaine, and I need to start speaking to him again, because he wants to send Huonet Hebrew music that's done from the brothers and sisters in Kenya. Now, I'm thinking that what we can do is we can actually feature their music and feature
mm-hmm.
them, and then if you want to support them, then you can probably... anybody can get in contact with Brother Pastor Martin, and then, you know, he can actually have
mm-hmm.
his self supported through the music, you know, because I'm trying to figure out how to incorporate different people into Huonet. Because, you know, what this is a network, you know, we have to network and we have to communicate with each other, whether it be music, whether it be writing, whether it be teaching, whatever. Let's just network and come together to try to understand where each of us are coming from, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that's a dream. So you know, I'm gonna work on it. And if you're down, Sister Venus, what we'll do is we'll discuss this offline,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna write down your number.
Okay.
Because I see it right here. I'm gonna write this down, and then
okay.
that's the.
And also, when you do get in contact with me, I'll be able to give you my Skype information as well. So, you know, if it's more cost effective to do it in that way, that'll be fine.
Okay, no problem. You're the 832, right? No, you're the
954.
954, hold on 1 second. Let me make sure. Call the wrong person. All right, hold on. I'm like, Venus, hello. I'm like, ooh, you got a deep voice. Okay, 9 by 4. Okay, I got that right now. All right, now,
okay.
The thing is, though, once you get it in motion, it's pretty much there. And I think it's already there. We just have to kind of put the pieces together, and it's just going to be phenomenal. Does somebody 973-44? Do you have a question?
Yes, this is Brother Ross Houle again.
Hey,
I don't know what was going on with my phone. It kept dropping, but I'm going to ask you a question. I hope it's not off topic.
No.
You had at one time the Nation of Islam under the teaching of Elijah Muhammad, and today you have the Nation of Islam under Minister Louis Farrakhan, which really doesn't hold a candle compared to what he had. You also had the Black Panther movement, and today you have the new Black Panther movement that are nowhere on the level of the original Black Panthers.
Then you had
the Hebrew Israelites. I'm in Jersey, so I'm only familiar with Dr. York and the Hebrew out of New York, and maybe some splinter groups who are no longer around. So my question to you is, what makes your ministry different and in terms of really being on point with everyone else, especially those who taught that we were the original people, Hebrew, and what will make this successful?
Okay, well, one thing is this. With all due respect, I don't really know Dr. York, and I'm not really familiar with I'm 2 years. Let's say, put it this way: 2 years ago, I realized who I was. Okay, and I started doing research on my own and actually finding this stuff out. Now, I've been recently talking to different brothers and sisters, and they're like, "Hey, have you heard of these guys? You ever heard of these guys and these guys?" And now I'm finding out that there's all these other brothers out here that have been doing this for a while. And I'm excited about it because I'm like, wow, we've been doing this for a long time. And this is good, right? But as I'm listening to a lot of the stuff that they're speaking on, a lot of it isn't correct, brother. Okay? Now, I'm not going to go there and attack them and say, this is wrong what you're doing. Only thing I can do is just give what I know. And then you as an individual can either build on what I have the new information and compare it with what that is and then elevate yourself to a higher level of understanding. Now, if this is a ministry, then I'm happy for that. But I don't see myself as a ministry. All I'm doing is just teaching what I find to the people. If people can accept that and they want to talk and get more into the research, if they agree with me, they can call. If they want to debate what I have, they can call. Because whenever we debate something, somebody's going to learn something. Because we have an opposing issue in order to get to the truth, right? And we have to stop thinking that we're competing against each other. Like, no one, there shouldn't be a Nation of Islam competing against a Nation of Islam. There should be a Nation of Islam edifying a Nation of Islam, okay? There shouldn't be a Hebrew movement, if it's a Hebrew movement. There shouldn't be Hebrews competing against Hebrews. There should be Hebrews edifying other Hebrews. You see, what we need to do is we need to say, okay, we respect our forefathers, but our forefathers had this information. Now, as we build upon what they have given us, we can elevate it to another level because now we have more information that we can actually edify their information and we all become lifted up. There is no competition between the old and the new. I'm just a reflection of what they built. You know, like Rudolf Windsor. Not many people mention Rudolf Windsor from Babylon to Timbuktu. That's one of the first books I've read. I read his other books also. I would love to get Rudolf Windsor on the line here. How do you feel, brother? You wrote that book back in the 60s. The 60s. You know? We have more information now than we had back then because we have this internet. Not only do we edify what you say, we can prove it as fact now. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I don't know if that answers your question, brother.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did, with clarity. And I got a lot of respect for how you handled that. And I only use the term ministry, you know, because that's just the language that we use in terms, not to say that that's what you were, a minister or anything, but just get your word out. But you answered it very well. And keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you so much. And you call anytime, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. I have a call 323-528. Did you want to say something? Oh, you're on mute. Sorry about that. Hold on. Let me unmute you. 323. Hello.
It's Sister Leah.
Oh, hey, Sister Leah.
I raised my hand because one of the people in the chat, one of our brothers or sisters, has a question, and it's from Poel Bear, and they're asking about a particular group of people that's mentioned in the Bible. They wanted to know who is Aram, A-R-A-M, and they put a couple of scriptures up there, if you can see them. One's from Genesis 10:22, and the other is Luke 3:33. And then trying to, as far as I know, they like to ask what lineage is coming from.
Okay, now what is that? It's Genesis 10:22. Wait, let me... The children of Shem, Elim, and Lud, and Aram.
Yeah, and the children A-R-A-M. They want to know who that is.
Well, you know, that's... If it says the children of Shem, that's from the line of Shem. So where does Aram fit in? I have to... actually, you know what you can do right now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to... I don't know right now. But
okay.
I'll tell you how you find out. Now...
Okay.
What you do is you go to WhoNet, okay?
Yeah.
And this is an excellent resource, y'all. When you go to WhoNet, there's a book called After the Flood, all right?
Okay.
It's on the front page. When you click on that link, you actually get the genealogy of all of the children from the line of Shem, from the line of Ham and Japheth. Now, what you do is you click on the Table of Nations under Shem. When you click it on, you're going to have Aram, okay? When you click on Aram, you're going to actually read something on him. And I'm going to do that right now while I'm talking to you. And when you read on Aram, you actually can start going through the different verses that they explain, and you'll know exactly where the people went, where they are today, and what influence they had on us. All right. Now I'm talking as I'm doing this. What you do is you go to the Table of Nations, okay? And I advise everybody, please go to the website, because I don't know how long it's going to be up. Because if it's real effective and real powerful, they're probably going to give some kind of virus and try to shut it down. You know what I'm saying? You know how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know why?
Okay, I got it.
There,
Table of Nations.
Yeah, you go to Table of Nations. And then you go to, it says in appendix, you go to appendix 1, you click on it, and then when you click on the appendix, you have a Table of Nations that has a graphic on it, and then within that graphic, you have all of the different names and numbers. Now, you look for Aram.
It's trying to tell me that the page cannot be found. Sorry.
I'm looking
okay,
at
I got it. Sorry.
Okay. And Aram is number 6. So go down to 6, and it says, Aram, he was the founder of the Armenians, known to the Akkadians as the Armu, but who were later known to the Greeks as the Syrians, okay, from Surge, C29. In an Assyrian inscription of the Tiglath-Pileser I, from Cal 11 BC, the Armenians are depicted as living to the east of the river Tigris by the time of Tiglath-Pileser. I know I'm saying that wrong. The third, however, some 400 years later, they were living all over Mesopotamia after they settled to the west, occupying roughly the same area, makes up modern Syria. A clay tablet from Ur bears the of Armu, and it is of interest to note that the Aramaic is still spoken today. I don't know if that helped you out, but what you do from there, I guess this is the Aramaic.
Yeah.
You know, a connection to the Aramaic, you know? So now I want you all to take this as an example. Now, what I just did is what you can do. All you do is you just go find this resource, read about it, and then you go to the Wikipedia and put that A-R-A-M in the internet. And then you start to get all this information out on it. And then you go back to scripture. And you say, okay, where does this match up in scripture, and what does that mean to the Hebrew? How does this affect them? Where does it come in at? Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Can you say once more? After you click on the Table of Nations, what's the next one you click on?
Oh, after you click on the Table of Nations, what you'll see is you go all the way down to the appendix section, right?
Oh.
It says appendices. And then you see the nation of Shem, the nation of Ham, the nation of Japheth. You click on the nation of Shem, and then there's a number. If you look at the appendix map, they have a number for each of the offspring. And then you look at that number within the description. And actually what you can do is you can, if you purchase the book, then you actually have that copy with you just in case they get rid of the online copy. And you can use that as a reference. Okay? All right, we got about 13 minutes. We're going to go overtime. But what I want to do, I actually wasn't looking at the time. I had to make sure that we can get everything in because we're going to do open discussion. It's actually the open discussion time. So I'm going to open up some lines. Let me see. 702-612, you have a question?
This is
702, do you have a question?
This is basically going over our heritage as a people.
Okay, I think they must raise their hand by mistake. Okay, does anybody have any other question before I move on to the next topic? Okay. Now we have 12 minutes, then we're going to go over to the next. We're going to get a little bit overtime. The phone number to call in is 347-826-9484. That's 347-826-9484. If you would like to call in, you got about 12 minutes left to call in. Now, the next topic is open discussion, and this is when it gets pretty interesting because this is when I encourage everybody to just come forward with information that they want to talk about, and we're going to talk to Sister Jeanette after we discuss these few things. And this is something that I think people should listen to. And so if you want to call in and you want to say something, the phone number is 347-826-9484. Okay? And I'm going to let y'all know that I'm actually trying to manage everything by myself, and it's hard for me to follow the chat and the phone line, so bear with me. So, hopefully everything is running smooth. But now, open discussion. All right. Now, early this week, I got a question about Herman Cain. And Herman Cain is running for the presidency in the Republican. All right. Now, Herman Cain's a black man. Okay. And the funny thing about Herman Cain is I didn't know this man from no place. But I heard about him, some little chatter, but now he's becoming like the front runner in the Republican Party. Now, are they going to have like a black man against a black man, a black Republican against a black Democrat? And America has no choice but to have a black man again? Is that what they're doing? I don't know. But Herman Cain, now, if you look at his name, it's kind of like some kind of trickery going on there, okay? Before I continue, I'll make sure, am I still online? Did I get knocked off? Is everybody still there?
We can hear you.
Okay, good, good. Now, does anybody know who Herman Cain is, first of all? Does anybody know this man? Did someone say, yeah, we know him, or?
No.
No. So I don't even know why I'm talking about this guy. Okay, well, let me explain who this guy is. All right. Herman Cain is a Republican front runner for the presidency of the United States. Now, this man worked for the central bank, and his name Cain, obviously, we know what that is associated with, right? And the name is Herman, and that has a connection to the Hermetic, that name of Hermeticism. And if you do your research in the Hermeticism, you understand that's associated with the Kabbalah, and you have Cain associated with the Kabbalah. Now, this guy came up with his plan. He was like, it's called the 999 plan. And this is based for the Central Reserve. Since he's at a Federal Reserve Bank, he's talking about how we should tax the rich and this certain tax system that he wanted to come out with. And it's the 999 tax code. Now, the thing about it is, if you understand that the occult have this thing about numerology, and number 9 is one of their sacred numbers, okay? And it has a lot of demonic connotations to it. So what you have to understand is that when they're coming out with this guy named Herman Cain, the Hermeticism Cain, and the 999, there's a secret meaning behind that. Now, I don't know what it is 100%, but I think what we need to do is we need to keep our eyes open and see, are they actually playing with us here, or is there something that they're are they speaking to each other with this? Because when you read about this this 999 plan, even Republicans were making association with it, saying it was like the 666. And they were like trying to, I don't know exactly what's going on, but there's a lot of interesting things happening in this race for the presidency, you know? And does anybody have any questions on that, or would they want to expand on that topic? Let me see. I have some hand raises here. 954. Oh, that's Sister Venus. Do you have a question?
Well, I was just interested because initially this man wasn't even a factor. And I hadn't really been keeping up lately. But I know somebody was telling me the other day he made some sort of statement. I can't remember off the top of my head. This is so crazy. But he made a statement in regards to black people. And my friend was very offended by it because it's almost like it had to do with the economy and the way it is, basically. And we all know that this has been a plan for, that's been planned for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But all of a sudden now we are basically, I'm just going to put it in a nutshell, basically that we're not suffering as much as we think. And if we are, it's our fault. You know,
wow.
Going to look for that. I'm going to ask my friend again. But I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, we all know that the Hebrews are pretty much are at the bottom in society, and a lot of us are suffering because, you know, we're under the curses, and I understand why, of course, but to downplay it like that.
Yeah, he's obviously working for them. You know, the other side. And they always get their token to do what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Guaranteed token. Hold on, sister. Caller 856-676. Do you have a question?
I think that was me. Herman Cain, I think that, you know, obviously he's being backed up by the bank. By the banking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to just basically, a lot of heat right now is coming down on the banking system, which is, we all know, everyone's a banking system. And he's trying to redirect blame, and that's all. That's the reason why he's saying that if you're poor, blame yourself and your failures and all of other stuff. But
mm-hmm.
no one talks about NAFTA. No one talks about how this whole thing is happening right now with the crash of Wall Street, the housing market, and everything else. We cannot find a job, so they outsource all the jobs.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, those are the issues which he's not really looking to try to touch on. He's just trying to redirect blame. And for the people who don't pay attention to politics or what goes on inside the world, they're hoping that people will latch on to what he's saying, that, oh, maybe I'm just not trying hard enough. You know what I mean? Or whatever it may be.
Crazy.
Whatever you do, keep it to yourself. You
wrong
to say anything.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was somebody else speaking. We got about 4 minutes. Let me get 973-518. Do you have a question? 973-518. Do you have a question? Okay, that's 313-978. Do you have a question?
Hey, Shalom, family.
Hey, Shalom. Who am I speaking to?
No, I know that we are the ancient people, you know, nowadays with the internet and all the information.
Wait. Hold on, brother. Who am I speaking with?
Oh, it's Brother Matthew.
Hey, Brother Matthew. Hey, Brother Matthew, you might get cut off. Can you do me a favor? Can you hold that thought? I'm going to play a song so it has a smooth transition to the next slide, and then I'm going to call on you right after that. Okay, my brother?
Okay.
Okay. All right, y'all. I want everyone to call if you would like to continue. We're going to do a little bit of overtime. It's 347-826-9484. The number is 347-826-9484. And once we come back from the other side, we're going to get back to Brother Matthew, right?
Yes.
Okay, my brother. All right, I'm going to play a song, and we'll be right back on the other side. Okay. If it plays. Here it goes.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Babylon is falling down. Okay.
What?
Coming to an end.
Yeah.
Last one standing.
Let's go.
Feel the curtains closing,
yeah.
My eyes shut, time's up.
Uh-huh.
I reached a point in time where I made my mind up.
Yeah.
I threw away my clothes because I ran out of luck a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm on my own trying to find my throne.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the zone and it's best to stay alone. And if you shiver through your bones, you better pick up your phone.
Yeah.
If your friends turn their back and give you the dial tone,
uh-huh.
Just take advice from Erica and call Tyrone.
Cause
Hen ain't gonna be there.
Well,
it ain't cause I'm scared.
Never.
It's cause the end is there, so I'm skipping out of here. So y'all can keep on stressing and growing gray hair.
Uh-huh.
I'm marching on to my blessing, I hope you got it clear. I'm headed through the woods like little Red Riding Hood. And I ain't scared of the big bad wolf, I wish he would.
Wish
approach
would.
Me in the wilderness, see what she could.
Uh-huh.
Let's put an end to the wicked, it's time for the good.
It's time. You gotta stay strong, endure to the end. You already know, ride this thing out. Talk to him, Uriah.
Yeah, I got him. The messenger, just
what?
Spreading the word.
What?
You don't like it? That's cool. But if you do,
yeah.
Here we go, here we go. Another one of them episodes. Like a minister, phantom sneaks in.
Okay.
There's a disturbance in the force. Can I take any more? Never know. Let the message stay on course.
Okay.
You want me to deviate? I want you to get it straight.
What?
I'm not one to hesitate. I play it to checkmate.
Okay.
Go ahead and draw your sword.
Yeah.
What you keep on talking for? Babble on, Babylon. I see what you really on. Got a couple of guns, a couple of bombs, got a couple of spies, a couple of lies.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise when you raid my house. But the only thing you find staring is a mouse.
That's it.
I'll be headed out the back. Left everything intact. Go ahead and check.
Okay.
Aha! The wilderness on my ha 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 ha.
Okay.
So I stay set up.
Yeah.
I care less how you feel.
Nope.
I know the real deal.
Yep.
What my father says, it will come to pass.
Yeah. I'm just a messenger.
What?
Don't shoot the messenger. Yeah. It's about to be the end.
It's over.
Yeah.
What?
Feel like I'm losing my people.
It's all good.
But I gained a brother.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Y'all, welcome to the other side. That was Uriah and Hen. The song was called Revelations. I think that's a few years old, but that's still hitting. I like that. That's a nice tune. Any of y'all know Uriah and Hen? Anybody know these brothers?
Not sure. Heard of them.
Nah, yeah, I like to talk to them. I'm opening up a lot of these callers now.
I think I don't need really need nothing as far
as mute some of them callers with some people. Okay, Brother Matthew.
Steve.
Hey, my brother. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to know with all the information age, all the wonderful information going around, but like a lot of newer generation 80s type of babies are coming up learning this information. Now, we've already kind of programmed for this computer age, information technology age. I'm very knowledgeable. Like at a young age, I felt spiritual guidance and change growing up and understood that this world was a matrix world that we live in, it's full of crap. But, I'm gaining more knowledge. I came much like everyone that's in this so-called conscious community now that was getting knowledge coming up from the African and different things. I found out some information dealing with an area I'm in Michigan. Are you familiar with the Mound Builders and the Paleo American?
Yeah.
They predate certain things that was so called before the over the African era. Before they migrated out of Africa and found things. It's a lot of confusion that's going on in our community. What information or what I'm trying to say here, what can y'all really tell us to kind of keep us grounded? What should we be doing either in the scripture? Because a lot of things have been plagiarized and plundered throughout the centuries and years. What information can you give us to really root us to the truth that we are trying to seek?
That's a really good question, brother. But the first thing I say is it is very important that we don't look around for a leader. Okay? Those days are over with.
Right.
There ain't no man that's going to come lead us out of nowhere because we have the information now to lead ourselves. And whenever we look for a leader, what happens is that leader misleads us because there's always been the plan for us to gather up under one roof and then drink the Kool-Aid and die. You know what I'm saying? They always want to kill us off like that. But if we take the information ourselves and then become teachers and start teaching each other, then we don't have to look for then that question on what is it that we should do with information. Look, the thing about it is they have always been taking our information, usurping it, and giving us the information that they wanted to give us. All right. Now we are at a very special time is where we can actually take back our information and relearn who we are. Now, the question is, like, when we look at the ancient Americas, I'm talking like, you know, past the Cherokee Indians on it, the ancient Americas, all right? Now, we discovered that in Mexico they had a stone, and they call it the commandment rock, right? The Decalogue stone. I did a broadcast on this. And they had writings on this stone that were Paleo-Hebrew. I'm talking ancient Hebrew. Before the block letters, the Babylonian, Aramaic, the Paleo-Hebrew, okay? Now, when they looked at this Paleo-Hebrew, they were like, wait a minute, that means that people were here for a long time, okay? But we have to look at the scenarios, all right? Now, remember, when Christopher Columbus came over here in 1492, he didn't sail by himself. He brought some slaves with him because slavery was already legal because it was Dumb Damascus by Pope Nicholas III or the second, whatever he is. But Pope Nicholas said, I sign a line, you now can enslave anybody you want. That is not a Christian, right? This happened in 1492. All right? Now, I say this because we have to look at this scenario with this stone. And when you have Hebrews being stolen and brought over here, at that time, they're going to escape. Okay? And when they escape, where are they going to go? They're going to go into the new land, right? They travel into the new land, and now you have brothers writing on rocks in their language. Now, why is this important to understand is because when you study the Decalogue stone, it is omitted certain things. And the omission, like the things that they actually took out, they're actually telling you a story. They're telling you why they are over in this new land. And what they're telling you is that we were brought over here because of our disregard of the tent of the covenant. They talk about the thou shalt not take the name of thy Yah in vain. Okay, thou shalt not make unto thee engraven images. They went through all of that, and then they actually talked about the reason why we are in bondage in this situation is because we did this thing. And this is the conclusion that they have when they came up with this Decalogue stone. Okay, now, I know that's a little bit, I don't know if that's a little bit off topic, but the point I'm making is that what we have to understand is that the information that we're getting is they're telling us why, or they're telling us that this is happening to us for the reason that they want us to know. But they don't really want us to know that the slaves that were here were brought here and they were Hebrews. Anything to hide that, they're going to bring up other things. Now, I'm not saying that there were Egyptians brought over here or that the Moors didn't come over here. I mean, that's obvious. The Moors were sea surfers. I mean, they were traveling on boats. And understand that the Spanish kicked the Moors out. Okay? They were fighting. Where the Moors going to go? Okay? They're going to travel around. So, of course, they're going to hit the United States. All right? Africans, we were traveling around. All right? And they're not the first one that took that stream and knew how to get to the New World. Daggone it, Christopher Columbus already knew about it. That's how he found it. And they're not going to give us credit for finding that. Remember, we can't read. We can't write. We're just, you know, jungle bunnies in their eyes. So what we have to do is we have to now use discernment onto the history that they're giving us and then just sit back and meditate on it for a while and say, well, you know what? This is probably how this actually happened. And then from there you start doing the research and then your eyes start to become open into a more deeper understanding. And then you yourself become a leader and you don't have to look for anybody else because now you have the knowledge to teach somebody else. You see what I'm saying, brother?
You're right. I know that. I understand you clearly, brother, and keep up your excellent work that you're doing.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. I hope I wasn't too long-winded.
Oh, no. I understood clearly.
Okay. Okay, y'all. Now, what I wanted to do is we got 49 minutes, and this is open discussion. Now, I hope Sister Jeanette is still here because okay, she's still here. Now, when I was doing, when I did The Rise of the Black Messiah, Know Thy Enemy, Sister Jeanette called in, and she was speaking about some information that she didn't really want to give because she was concerned about it. She gave the information out. Would it mislead people, and how would people get affected by it? And she didn't have really a lot of time to explain, so I wanted her to call back in and actually explain that to us. And since this part of the discussion is open discussion, this is a great time for us to actually have, you know, just more information so we can actually utilize and basically see what comes out of it. So, Sister Jeanette, can you explain to us what you're speaking about again?
Okay. What I'm speaking about is...
Oh, wait, but hold on, Sister. First, introduce yourself. Give people a little bit of background so then they can get more familiarized with you.
With me? Okay. Well, my name is Jeanette, and I'm single, and I live alone, and I've been alone since 2004, when this illness, I started having several illnesses and stuff, so it was like I was kind of pulled out of the world and have remained out of it, completely alone, and during this time, I got with the Father and got into studying the Bible and talking to him and being with him, which I've done my entire life. Is my background is my family was dirt poor. I lost my mother when I was six or seven. So I've talked with him from the beginning of time as far as my time. He's been with me. I was sent to churches here and there throughout my life. I didn't come from a Christian family. I didn't come from, I left home when I was 15, got out on my own, and I've worked all these jobs I've done. As a teenager, I did field work, chopping cotton, and I quit school when I was in the 10th grade, and I've waitressed. I've done blood. Does anybody knows what Ludlow work is? Chasing locos, things like that, and building boats, and then my last 20 years, I was a manager of optometrist, manager of therapeutic optometry. And that was my life for 30 years. And then I became ill, and all this came upon me. And during the 70s, I was working at a nursing home and still in prayer and searching for the Father. And I came across an ad that said, if you want to know God, something like that, you know, I bought into these mystery. I joined this mystery school called, I don't afford to give the name of it because they're all the same. You can even look up on it as the Masonic Lodge. You know, they're all connected. They're all intertwined. Well, I joined this mystery school and started studying this. Well, they teach you that you can come in there with any type of belief, you know, and, well, of course, I had been throughout my scattered life and in and out of what churches I went to. So I believed in Jesus Christ. I believed, you know, and of course I knew God. And so I got into these studies with, of course, Jesus Christ. Well, they teach Jesus Christ is the white Jesus Christ. They teach the light, all this stuff. Well, to make this story short, or that part of my life short, or my life short, is now... I never got into these studies, in other words. It's like the Father protected me from them because it's like it's like he opens doors for me when they need to be opened at a protective time. During this time, before as I was on this journey to be alone and to study with the Father, a man came into my life that was a... he used to be a monk, and he helped build. He helped build the what's those real evil people? Monk. Tibetan. What am I looking? What's those people I'm looking for?
Were they? Was he? He was a monk.
The India.
Oh. It was a Hindu.
Krishna.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Yes, he was from them, as from one of their monks. And he had some inhuman parts about him. But anyway, he came into, now that I look back, he came into my life probably to try to kill me. I almost died during this time he was around me. But I survived it. Well, coming out of all of that made me question this stuff, because see, they teach that Krishna, some of that stuff is in some of these studies and stuff, but anyway, what God has given me discernment during this broadcast is being able to see where, okay, picture this, you were created by God Almighty, by the God, the Creator, the Father, which is Son, Yahushua. Okay, and you were full of the brightest light, of course, that you could probably have. Well, along comes, draw this line, and on the other side, along comes this other seed. And this other seed takes over your light and dims it, darkens it, and knocks your conscience down, and takes over your God, and takes over everything, takes over all the secrets that you know, and throughout eternity has dumbed you. This is the only way I know how to put it now. And some of the things in these studies, now that I'm looking at it from a different perspective as after this broadcast, is that, you know, they present themselves as brothers of light.
Mm.
Anyone that knows anything about the mystery schools, the Masonic schools, and that, you know, and they present themselves as brothers of light. Well, you know, and that would always kind of throw me off. Well, if they're, how can they be light, you know? But then they talk about all the good things and all this in here. But the reason they do is what they've stolen. And I take it that maybe their seed is not from our Father, so their seed had to evolve.
Hmm.
Their seed had to evolve into a man and become a man and trying to steal the true God's wisdom, knowledge, and turn it into their thing, and in the process, keeping it from the true God's true people, and which is, you know, it's mind control, and it's, do you know where I'm coming from, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
About that now with the studies?
Yeah, yeah.
Is, I mean, our life, what, now that the Father is waking up his people, okay, he's always known, the Father has known who his people are, who his chosen ones were, who his loved ones are, and who is going to be with him here in the kingdom, and who is going to, you know, he's going to be their king then. You know, that's going to be our leader. Well, since he's always known this, for some reason, since we're in such darkness and was knocked down so low, that his intentions, the Father's intentions in this end time, is for his. Now we have to become them brighter lights. In other words, those people aren't necessarily, or they're dark, but they present themselves as light. People can't see the darkness in them, can't see the dark. So
dark.
So I guess now I'm thinking, well, our light has to, what, are they got, they're a different kind of light, because the Father's light is going to burn them up, you know?
Let me make a quick comment. Hold on 1 second. Let me make a quick comment. You know, when you were speaking, something came to my mind, a memory that I had. And, wait, I have to mute somebody.
What is that?
Wait, hold on. Oh, a memory came to my mind. And I was talking to somebody here in Sweden. I think it was this conversation. It might have been someone else. But I was talking in a conversation in Sweden. And this This is a Swedish woman from Sierra Leone? Not Sierra Leone. It's Senegal. From Senegal. Okay? That's okay. There's a lot of mics open. It's just hard to... I have to mute them, but I don't have somebody to mute it, so I'm going to have to just talk right over it. Now, what happened was, when I was speaking to her, she was telling me that she had a friend, okay? And a friend of hers was speaking to... all right, I got it. A friend of hers was speaking to somebody.
Thank you, you have a wonderful
day today. Ooh.
How are you doing today?
Okay. Meet these people out. All right, sorry about that, y'all. Sorry about that. Okay, let me continue. A friend of hers was speaking to somebody, and they were, and then the conversation went like this. She was like, you know, and I think the lady was a psychic or something, because she was talking about the spirits of black people, all right? And what she was saying is that, do you know that your spirits are unbreakable? No. Yeah, she, once they say they're unbreakable, she goes, your spirits are directly from the sun. But she was saying it in a way that she didn't understand it. She was basically saying, your spirit comes directly from the Creator. Our spirit doesn't come from that. And she was a psychic now, and she was basically telling this lady that these people are they're different. They come from a different source.
Yes.
And you know,
I notice it here that they try to work with your blood.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't know a lot about that because
yeah,
I haven't studied
I'm
it yet. But when you know, there is an understanding that the spirit that was given to the Sidiaco, based on the information in the garden, the Most High breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. So, and we know that the name Ayah means life, to exist. Ah, okay? It's like breath. So we have to understand what that means. If you have the breath of life, then you have the breath of the Creator. So if this psychic is saying that you are different, you have light from the sun, you're of the sun, and these people are not, then they're making a distinction saying that life was given to you. Okay? Now,
stolen or have tried to steal.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to steal it, though. They can't steal nothing from the Most High.
Right. Exactly. Here in the end, you're going to overcome what they've tried to do. Yes.
Yeah, it's really... you know, like I said, I believe that all this is to be the signs and wonders. All right. Now you have to understand what are the signs and wonders? You know, the signs and wonders are to show the miracle of the Most High. All right. They're supposed to show the miracles based on what happens during the last time. You know, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm talking at the same time as I'm trying to control this call board, making sure I'm clicking people out. And but also, Sister Jeanette, you know have you heard of the Hathors? Does this
the what?
Something about the Hathors?
A-Z-A-R-S?
No, Hathors. Hathors.
Okay. I've seen that word recently, but no. But somewhere that has came across my path recently.
All right, I'm going to read something to you, okay? Now, I think this because you mentioned Tibet, right? Now, listen
yeah.
to this. Okay, it says, this is from, I did a broadcast a while ago, and it's called The Founding Fathers, and, no, it's called, wait, which one is it? Oh, wait, hold on. It was the one with the Founding Fathers in it. It was Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. It had that video in it, and it was about the Founding Fathers. Anyway, I'm going to read something from it, okay? And this is in reference to the Hathors. It says, we are the Hathors. We come in love and with the sound sounding of a new dream, reality for your earth. All right? Now, this is what the founding fathers believe in, because this is that Sanat Kumara. This is that whole thing that comes with Helen Blavatsky and the whole Illuminati. This is part of their, they call them the ancient masters, okay? This is one of their deities, and it says, if you are ready to build the new world, we invite you to join us on a journey of the mind and heart. We are your elder brothers and sisters. We have been with you for a very long period of your evolution on this planet. We are with you in eons past, even in the forgotten days before any trace of us is known in your present written history. Our own nature is energetic and interdimensional. We originally came from another universe by way of Sirius, which is a portal to your universe. And from Sirius, we eventually proceeded to your solar system and the etheric realms of Venus. Now, the reason why I read that, there's a little bit more. The reason why I read that, because what was happening in Israel, they had that little sphere that came down, and then all of a sudden it got really bright, and it shot up into space, and everybody's talking about these UFOs coming, and Planet Nibiru, and 2012, and they're getting us ready for something. But at the same time, if you look up the Hathors, the Hathors is a temple out of Egypt, which is taking people back to the ancient Egypt religion. But this all has something to do with these people coming back to the earth. Okay, they're trying to get people ready for them coming back, and this is a belief. Okay, in the this is a belief in the Illuminati New World Order religion. That's very important to understand.
All of this go in together, yes.
Okay, and I'm going to finish reading. It says, in the past, we have specifically worked with and through the Hathor, fertility goddess of ancient Egypt. See? We also made contact with the Tibetan lamas in the formative period of Tibetan Buddhism. Although we have interacted with some of the Earth's early cultures, we are an intergalactic civilization with outposts that span parts of your known universe and beyond. Now, that sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo and like Battlestar Galactica. But
yeah,
this is something that's being taken serious amongst certain peoples. Okay? Mainly these Illuminati types, the New World Order. Okay, there's something here for them. And
yeah, they're all in that agenda tied up together, which is, there's also something in it for them, and it's stealing your identity and stealing God, man, taking over man, the true man, the God man. It's that seed taking him over.
Yeah, I don't know. Is anybody want to chime in on this and try to figure out what?
Give us some answers.
Yeah, does anybody have any opinions on what Sister Jeanette's speaking on? Caller number. I have some hand raises. 954-817. Do you have any comments? Let me see. Caller 856-676. Do you have any comment?
Well, I've definitely heard about what you guys are talking about and what Jeanette's talking about. And I'm not too sure on it. I like I said, I did hear about this before. Is there validity to it? I think there quite possibly may be. I don't know enough about it to really share with everyone else, but
yes,
I did hear about this before.
But Brother Jamel, how about the people? What is it called? The soulless beings? Does this have any connection to that? Do you think?
I think so. I think that
some of these soulless beings were, you know, we all know them as vehicles in order for them to interact with true men, whether either in a positive or a negative aspect. I don't think that the being itself has any true control. It's just whomever occupies that vehicle at that time. So I think that that's all tied in. And that's what I'm saying. I think that there is some validity to what Jeanette's saying. I just don't know enough about it to tie it completely in.
Let me read you one paragraph right here.
Okay.
Without mentioning the mystery school, it says the mystery, I'll just say the mystery school is composed of a select class of people. Select because it is formed of those who have a desire to improve and a yearning to understand not only themselves, but the purpose of their coming to this strange little planet Earth. They eagerly await each lesson. They sincerely try to understand its contents and apply the teachings in daily life. They try to be thoughtful and considerate of others. Always, they are self-reliant because they are self-taught. They seek the good and they find it. They are out to prove themselves to be vanguard of humanity. When troubles come, they know with unshakable assurance that the mystery people indeed never walks alone, and they turn to the guidance and the sustaining strength that it is always there when needed. Now, if you look at that with discernment, they've come from a different seed, and that's what I mean by what can throw people off in the masses and confuse them when they get into these type of studies and different avenues that they believe lead to God, these other, like Buddha, the white Jesus Christ, all these other masters. They're all considered the masters that you spoke of before. Well, they all try to teach from an aspect of our God's light, but it's not his light. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
and
that's
what we got to discern how what's in these teachings that is coming from our Father that you knew at one time, and it's been taken from you. It's been washed out of your. They're trying to wash it out of your bloodstream. Is what they're trying to do. But
Jeanette,
not,
you know what?
You're not going to accomplish it.
You know what just dawned on me? I think what's going on here is... Wait, hold on, y'all. I got to take a sip of water real quick.
My computer just went off.
As I'm listening to you, I'm actually reading an old broadcast that I did. And there's a demon named Sanat Kumara. Okay? And it says, Sanat Kumara, Lord of the World, Ancient of Days, Fountainhead of the Will, the Great Sacrifice. The one initiator, Melchizedek, the king. These titles refer to the great individuality who rules the world, presides over the Council of Shambhala, heads the planetary hierarchy, and wields the rod of initiation for three major initiates. Santa Kamara, in the Tibetan words, is he to whom Christ refers to when he says, I and my Father are one, the name Sanat Kumara is the Sanskrit for eternal youth, and more poetically, youth of endless summers, providing two more titles. Now, I read that to make a point, and the point is that none of that stuff is going to work now, okay? Now, that, you know, little bit of introduction, like he's getting ready to go into a WWF fight with Hulk Hogan. Now, this guy can say all this stuff, but because the true seed of Yaakov was waking up, we're saying like, oh, hey, hold on now. All that's a bunch of crap, all right? This is the true seed, and this is the word. Now, if people were looking to those in Jerusalem as the true seed and thinking that they are the chosen of the Most High, what do they have to offer the people that are seeking? They say, oh, here is the Kabbalah, right? Now, the Kabbalah matches with what they want perfectly. And they're thinking, like, these are the children of the Most High. And their children of the Most High are presenting us the Kabbalah. That's why you have Madonna wearing this little Kabbalah string around her head, her arm, and Britney Spears.
See, that's not right.
And, of course it's not right. But the thing is that people don't know who to look towards because they have been deceived. Now, what they're looking towards is people like Madonna and this Kabbalah, and they're thinking that it's being presented to them by the seed of the Most High. Now, the thing about it is there are being Yahushua is being misrepresented. He's being misrepresented, by people that are claiming to be the seed of Ayah, of Yaakov. What does this do? What this does is this takes all of these Christians that are propping them up and all of these Illuminati and stuff and putting them all into one bucket because they're all being deceived by the same individuals, these principalities, the Catholic Church, the Protestants, the Hindus and Santa Kumara, the ancient masters. They're all being deceived by thinking that, you know, the truth is given to us by the seed of Yaakov, but the seed of Yaakov was usurped. Now, here's what happens. When the true seed, the true people wake up, the true ones that have that spirit of Ayah breathed into them, when they wake up, right, they're saying, no, this is wrong. These people are liars. They are the synagogue of Satan. Here's the truth. And now people will actually look towards this information and go, wait, hold on now. This is a contradiction into what is written. And they're presenting to you books by these ascended masters and by these false religions and giving you masonry and all this other falseness.
Exactly.
But you don't have nothing to compare it to because the people that you're looking at are the Christians and the Protestants and the Judaism and all the other religions out there. But when you wake up to the understanding, okay, but listen up. When you wake up to the understanding that religion is bondage and religion is the tool for mind control, when you wake up to that, you begin to free yourself from that mind control. And then you can find the truth on your own by reading it and then joining with like-minded individuals that are free. And who is free? The seed of Yaakov. The seed of Yaakov are free because we don't subscribe to the Christian dogma. We don't subscribe to the Muslim dogma or the Egyptology dogma. Okay, we don't describe to the Judaism dogma because the Judaism that they turn into the religion is not a religion. It is a way of life. It is a promise between the seed of Yaakov and a covenant made with them and Ayah. You see? That's freedom. That's freedom. And that's what people do not get. Because they're being brought, mind controlled and brainwashed through this Kabbalah, through the Ascended Masters, through the Illuminati, through the miracle of that sphere that went over the dome of the rock and just hung out there for a couple seconds and shot into space in 2012 and planet Nibiru, and everybody's all getting like, oh my goodness, what's happening? Are the aliens gonna come and save us? You know what I'm saying?
They may come, but they're not going to save us.
Y'all feel
see,
about?
The evil is so deep and so overwhelming sometimes for me.
Then get out of that book.
Yeah, I think
Are you one of the? You posted something not too long ago. I think a couple of days ago on who and that and on Facebook.
But I didn't understand what you said.
I said, were you the one that you posted something on who and that a couple of days ago on Facebook? Is that correct? Am I talking to the right net? Did you post
something
on Facebook on who and that?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook.
No, he asked you if you posted something. Did you post that on Facebook a few days ago?
Oh, I posted something on Facebook and asked a question underneath it. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I do wonder, actually, that was a very interesting information that you gave out. So, and I'm out, you know, I'd like to talk to you more in detail about that later on. So I'll probably wind up friending you on Facebook. I don't want to take too far from the conversation, but very excellent article, I think, you know, you posted.
But that's the kind of research that we have to dig to find the truth.
Yep.
You know, you can't, you've got to uncover rock after rock after rock after rock.
Yeah, it was, that's where I'm at, too. That's where I'm at. And I was actually kind of surprised that you brought up some of the information that you brought up today. Like I said, I'm not saying that that is true, but for a simple fact that we have people in high places,
yep,
that I would say that looking toward this event. You know, I think that there is some validity there, and I think that we all need to have open minds and not be kept in the box. And you're absolutely right.
It's
about
hard
it.
For
I
me
mean,
to. It's hard
religion,
for me.
Religion is
internet
bondage. And
yeah, it's a bondage.
You know, whenever you're dealing with religion, you're probably going to find yourself in trouble at some point in time. You know, our people, true people, God's people, never had religion. You know, I mean, this is a man-made thing. So, I mean, that should be a big red flag for someone looking to get into a religion. So
yeah. And Sister Jeanette,
what I said is that they need to have they've got to have the heart and the mind for the Father and put the Father's will first and
mm-hmm.
then take it from there and stick with that. Stick with Him. Stick, you know, with all your heart and soul. And then do your research from that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And I always say that the phrase, you know, you have to put new wine in new bottles, or let's say the wineskin, you know, but you do. You have to have new wine and new bottles, because if you mix it, you're gonna confuse yourself. And this is brand new information, if you think about it. Even though it's been coming out since, actually, I did research that they knew they were Hebrews back in the time of the slave trade, but that was, of course, it was suppressed.
Uh-huh.
But
right.
It never has been at this scale before, all right? And but in order for
these are the hidden secrets that I'm into. I mean, from the beginning, you know. So yeah, they've been around. I guess as long as God created.
Yeah, I mean, this is.
Yeah.
Think about it, though. This is what we have to think about now. It is to the advantage of the usual suspects. I call them the usurpers, the Amalekites, the usual suspects. It's to their advantage that the Hebrews are asleep and they don't know who they are. It is to their advantage that they never call on the name of the Most High, Ayah. Okay, that's why they said the name was Yahweh, or the name was a symbol, or the name was, you know, everything else that they want to tell us. Like, here's a rule of thumb. If they're telling us in the mainstream what the name is, guaranteed it's not the name. Okay? They are not going to give us the power to destroy them. That's just stupid. Okay? It's not going to work. So we need to analyze that. Now, I'm not going to get here on the name thing. I'm not going to debate that, because this is something for you to find out for yourself. And it is easier to find out than you think. It just takes about 5 minutes and a little bit of know-how, and you will find out the name of the Most High, okay? But that's for another discussion. But the prophecy says that when my people, which call upon my name, will humble themselves and pray, okay, then what's going to happen? He's going to hear from heaven and heal their land. So we got to know what to call on. And if we're calling on the wrong thing, that means we're calling on something that they gave us for their benefit,
exactly,
to keep us blinded. And as long as they continue to take us in captivity, as long as they continue to chop off 10 million hands and nobody call on the name of the Most High, they're still in a position of power. But the moment we say no and call on the name of Ayah and ask him to intervene for the seed of Yaakov, it's over for them. they cannot proceed when that happens. You see, there's actually laws and rules that have to be followed. The principalities understand that. Okay? And as long as, and if you know that, then the war has already been won. Okay? I gotta mute somebody. Too much noise. Hold on, y'all. Who is that? Man. Hey, I'm trying to find it. I can't find it. Okay, it stopped. Anybody have any comment? We got about 14 minutes left. What I'm going to do, Sister Jeanette, are you finished? Because I want to read something real quick.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, before we get cut off, what I want to do is this is a perfect time to read some scriptures, and then I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to have some conversations for people that want to speak. But I'm going to read Leviticus 26, 40, okay? That's Leviticus 26, 40, okay? And before I do that, I'm going to mute a couple people because I don't want to make sure.
You have to. I just mute us all.
Yeah, I'm just going mute. I'm just going through mute right now because I just want to make sure these scriptures are heard. So sorry about y'all. If y'all want to say something, just raise your hand. Okay. All right, I'm muting. Okay, we got 12 minutes left. All right, now I'm going to read something, okay? Now, this is Leviticus 26, all right, and it's 40, okay? Now, actually, I'm going to read a little bit farther. Let's go. We'll start from Leviticus 26, 38. It says, and ye shall, no, 36. I want to make sure I set this up. Okay, here we go. Leviticus 26, 36. All right. And it says, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into thine hearts in the land of thy enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. Now, of course, we know who this is talking about, okay? But and it goes, and they shall fall one upon another as if it were before a sword when none pursueth, and ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. Now, we know this is talking about the Sidi Yaakov, right? This is Leviticus. This is edification of Deuteronomy. Actually, Deuteronomy's edification of this, because this book is before Deuteronomy. Well, here we go. And it says, and ye shall perish among the heathen. Okay, we all know what the heathen is. And the land of your enemies shall eat you up. All right? And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' land. And also, and the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. All right? And then it says, Leviticus 26:40, if they shall confess, okay, it's talking about us, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of their punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Cast away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Most High, their Ayah. Okay? Now, that goes with 2 Chronicles 7:14. Okay? Second witness. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Okay? Now, I read that because I want people to understand that the ones that call themselves Jews will never read that verse to you. They have never read that verse to you. They are not going to read that verse to you. If you're looking for salvation in the Kabbalah, tying a little red string around your wrist, if you think that's going to save you, you are sorely mistaken. Okay? Sister Jeanette brought up these teachings and all this mysticism and mystery schools and stuff that they see, all of that stuff meant something to a religious person that is a little bit confused. Well, a lot of bit confused. But when you get into the word and you understand who the people are, what actually has occurred and what these people have to do and who they are, then you're not confused anymore. Because you shed all of that religion away. You shed all that religion away. I'm gonna give a message to our Father real quick, and then I'm gonna open up the mics. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for bringing us together. I want to thank you for bringing these wise young brothers and sisters together here on this Hebrew Council meeting, O Father. I pray that you use this message to open the hearts and minds of those, Heavenly Father, those lost sheep, O Father, that need to hear your word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us the opportunity once again, O Father, and giving me the opportunity to speak to your children. It is such an honor. Heavenly Father, I thank you, and I come humbly, and I pray that you hear these words that I'm saying that come out of my mouth. Heavenly Father, we honor the covenant that you have given your seed, Yaakov. I pray that you, your will, that you open the eyes of us and let us do the job that you have made us to do. I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Yahushua's precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to open up some lines here and have some last comments before we get faded out.
I didn't get a hamburger bun, Josh. I couldn't have been talking to
you. Okay, mute that one. Oh, there it is. Okay. Man, they just yakking. Ain't nobody saying no, just yakking. Next week, I'm going to do the part two of The Rise of the Black Messiah, okay? And I invite everybody to come and listen. And I want to actually use the opportunity to let the brothers and sisters know that we're going to do a Hebrew Council meeting, but it's going to be offline. And if you want to be a part of that, it's usually this is actually for the core members, because the core members, we have like a lot of discussions and a lot of stuff that we can't really bring to the forefront because it's not controversial.
Understandable.
Well, people aren't ready for that yet. You know, there's a lot of stuff that has been brought to our attention, and a lot of us aren't really on the same page yet, but we're getting there, and there's no need to iron that out live because there's certain things that we need to just grow as a family. And you know what I'm saying? But, you know, right. You're welcome to come and listen and in on it, but we're not going to put it out there to the world. And we're going to do that offline. Now, I think this week I'm going to do the broadcast on the Shabbat, but maybe we can do, I think maybe the next week we'll do an offline, but I'll call people up and figure out how do you want to do it. But next week I think I'm just going to do that one online, and then we'll kind of take the week off, or you know what I'm saying?
When you do an offline, can I get on it by phone?
Yeah, you have to. Actually, it's Skype. You have to be on Skype.
Because I don't have Skype. Okay.
Yeah, just download Skype, and it's free. And everybody can talk, and they ain't charging. But, you know, Microsoft bought it, so next week they might be like,
I have to have a camera, though, right?
No, you don't have to have a camera. You don't have to have a camera.
Oh, you don't?
No, we don't look at each other, because we might scare each other.
Oh.
Anyway, maybe I'll look into it again. I thought that was good.
Well, I'd be like, I ain't calling that brother no more. Oh, Lord.
It's a good thing we're more beautiful in the spirit.
Oh, I'm we ain't lying.
No, you know, one of these days, will we be able to do that, though, to see each other's face? I mean, of course, we'd get all, you know, dolled up, but that would be nice to actually see each other one day.
Yeah, I'm planning to come to the U.S., and I want to do, like, just meet people, you know what I mean? Speak. We all have, like, a little speaking engagement.
Come to my house, because I can't go nowhere.
You can't go nowhere?
No.
Well, there you go.
Brother Dowie.
I mean, I can't. Yes. I can go somewhere, but I don't. I don't travel and finances and stuff, you know.
Okay.
So I'm kind of stuck where I'm at.
We can do a tour.
Going back, and that's it.
We can tour through a couple of different states and drive through.
Sister, Georgia, did you say something?
Yeah. I just wanted to make a quick note real quick before y'all close it up. I just want to let everybody know that we really need them to pre-order the CD that we're making right, the DVD that we're making right now. It is well worth it. It's talking about a lot of the season, the holidays. But
yeah.
We got it ready. But we need people to pre-order, make sure that all the materials are covered and the cost of shipping and so forth. We need to get the pre-orders in. So I just want to make mention of that. I do have information posted on my site, and if you want, you can go ahead and put it on whatever site you wanted to put it on. But and the prices and everything are listed for the DVDs. But we want to try to get that out before the holidays begin, especially the upcoming one. So I want to throw that out there. We have Halloween, we have Thanksgiving on there, Christmas, New Year's Day, Easter, Lent, Valentine's Day, April Fool's Day, birthdays. I think that's it. I think that's what's all covered on the DVD. But
okay.
It's 4 hours, so I want to just get that out there that we do need the orders. People start. I have a couple placed, but I need more.
Okay. Well, so we got like 2 minutes left. What you can do, Sister Georgia, you or Sister Venus, send me the link so I can put it on a front of Whoanet, okay? And I'm going to, like I told you before, I want to do a pre-order with you so you can get that out. And I encourage people to support Sister Georgia and, you know, we have to support each other and you know, give her help. Send her help so she can continue to do what she does, because I know it's very time-consuming to make these DVDs. Okay, we got about a minute and 34 seconds. Before we just get cut off, I just want to say thank you so much, everybody, for coming. Visit whoanet.org. Sign up. Do so, you can everything on there. You just download it. Make sure you get the books and everything else. If you have a question, just call me up, and, you know, we can talk. And brothers and sisters that want to go on the WhoNet offline meeting, I'm going to send out information to that in the email and look forward to seeing you coming on there. Okay, y'all, happy Shabbat. Thank you so much for coming. Shalom, brothers and sisters.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Okay, let me see if I can play on the way out. Okay. Okay, y'all.
Souls awake and your deathbed is waiting, huh? No time for contemplating, commit to box with Satan. Spar with the devil, I'm hard with the metal, huh? Watch the smoke settle, you see a righteous rebel. A militant mind, my vision divine. The world has seen enough and had enough in its past time. It's crunch time, get your hard head, it's lunch time. Too much risk going on, the punchline. I give it to him, straight up and raw. You got to hear some and see some that you never saw. Walk with the word, the talk is superb. I'm about to shatter the faith of the image you